The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Some folks say when you fall in love, you lose your appetite. Love makes you feel that way. Listen to what I say, dear. If love makes you give up steak and potatoes, rice, corn, chitlins and tomatoes, love makes you give up all those things. I don't want love. Love makes you give up ham and greens,
like
chicken
eat.
Pot pie and lima beans. Love makes you give up all them things.
Don't
I don't want love. Well, I am here to say to you that I love my bread and my meat. Take a look at me and you can plainly see that I'm a man who loves to eat. So if love makes you give up steak and
tomatoes,
eggs over easy and hash brown potatoes, love makes you give up stuff like that.
Oh no,
I don't want love. No, 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 no.
I have issues with Indians.
You're a fanny.
Corn dogs and mustard, Cracker Jacks and Tutti Frutti custard. Love makes you give up onion rings. I don't want love. If love makes you give up pizza night and garlic mashed potatoes, then he's out of sight. If love makes you give up all those things, no, no. Baby's awful skinny and she don't like meat and she can't stand breakfast in bed. And as for me, well, where's my seat? Cause it was time that I was fed.
I love my bag.
So if love makes you give up saute and pate and vichy soir and stuff you have to flambe.
A biddly biddly bone.
Love makes you give up buffalo wings.
Blimey!
I don't want love.
Always good to start a show with a bit of Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks, who I recently rediscovered because I saw a CD on my car and we were listening to that song a lot in the car today. And the boys found it hilarious that he mentions garlic mashed potatoes. And they thought that sounded like the most disgusting creation on God's earth. And I threw them out of the car because it sounds great. Good evening, dear listener. The Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio, Monday to Friday. I'm Ian Lee. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
That's
not that it's
it.
Any of your bloody business.
I need you to bring those documents in. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Tonight, do we have too many Muslims in the country? Give us a call. I say we do. No, hang on. That's not us. Sorry, I do apologise. That's LBC, isn't it? That's what Nigel Farage does. Not for much longer. He's getting the elbow. Oh, you can call in about anything you want. We got some bits and pieces tonight. I got some stuff. It's hot. It's been a hot day. I've been making kites with the boys. I went to a kite. By the way, Norden Farm, is this arts centre? Arts centre. No, I think it's art centre. An art centre. Yeah, it's art centre. Yeah. in Maidenhead. And it's weird, it's just like hidden away in this little sort of housing area.
Mm.
And there's this wonderful art centre. And we went there today, I took the boys there today, and they converted the whole front into a beach. It was the first day of it being a beach. Right, so buried the boys, of course, and, you know, fun, playing with some other kids. A lot of kids coming. I'm a child magnet, so loads of kids coming over to me, and I was burying my boys. Could you bury me? I said, well, I probably shouldn't, because I don't know who you are, but you can help me bury this one. Then I took a picture of my son, and the kids are going, you take a picture of me? He's going, well, I probably shouldn't, but thanks very much for asking. Thanks for your help. And then playing with the hammocks. And all these kids, just, there's one kid who's kind of hiding in a hammock, and I'm looking around going, is that you, am I okay if we're just playing with the hammock? And she's like, fine, yeah, so playing with all these kids in these
mum's
hammocks.
Off having a fag
mum's
somewhere.
The mums were having a cheeky glass of white wine.
Were they?
Yeah, cheeky glass of white wine. It was great. This is such a cool place, right? And they put on loads of shows for kids and adults. You know, it's just right, you know? I'm an artist. Oh, they had a great show there that's on this... This isn't an advert for them, but I guess it is. It's on this Sunday, right? If you want, I can't go because we're going to be coming back from Manchester. Only 4 tickets left. And it's like a rock and roll band, mm-hmm. right, for kids. But kids, from what I could tell from the poster, in fact, can you go on to the Norden Farm website, N-O-R-D-E-N website, and look up the band that are playing this Sunday? Because I saw the poster in the toilet. And I thought, that looks like the most amazing thing. Anyway, we did this kite-making thing today, and we were in there for about 45 minutes. It was £3 each. I had to pay. This was £9 for the three of us. And the boys made these kites. These people were there showing them how to make it, and then you got to decorate it and stuff. And I was thinking, well, these kites look great, but they ain't going to fly. They flew! Well, they were the best flying kites I've ever seen. What are you looking at?
Is it Purple Zeppelin?
What does it say?
28th of July.
I said the 29th, my darling. I did say... I said the 29th of July.
All right.
Why the F would I lie? I'm an honest, down-to-earth guy.
The 20 what? 29th?
Yes, that's what I said. I don't get the dates wrong. Not in my head.
Okay. Rock and roll.
Yes, is it?
Concertini.
Get in there. Right, read this. Doesn't this sound like... If you've got kids, this sounds like the most fun ever.
With Matt Bond and the Poor Boys Good Time Band.
Yeah, go on. This
a journey of some of the best-loved rock and roll themes from the 1950s and beyond. Be inspired by the sounds of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones and Elvis whilst the kids dance, sing or just chill out on our beanbags.
Yeah.
Suitable for all ages. Why? It's rock and roll with a touch of yee-haw!
Yeah. But the kids are allowed to get up. The kids are allowed, maybe it doesn't say on the poster, the kids are allowed to get up and go up and sing if they want. If they want to get up on stage, have a little sing-song, they're allowed to. Oh. I love that. I love taking my kids, and we have done ever since they were young, to see bands. And not just big bands. I've taken them to see the Beach Boys and the Bare Naked. Not just big bands, but like little bands.
Mm.
I don't forget, there was near where we live, about a mile away, there's this rich kid, and he's got this big house. And they have like a fete there every year. And this guy, Gardner, I don't know who rich they are. And my boys came down about 2 years ago and said, have you ever heard of a band called The Beatles? I went, yeah. Oh, they're playing up at, let's call him, it's playing up at Steve's house. I said, The Beatles? I went, yeah, The Beatles. I said, are you sure? Oh, yeah, The Beatles are playing. I went, well, I have to go and check out this secret gig. So we went up there and it was a Beatles tribute band, but they only played like the early rock and roll stuff. It was brilliant. There was about 50 people there. No one was dancing. So I got up and I'm having a little boogie with the boys and we're doing some wicked dancing to this little band, this little Beatles tribute band. I love it. Anyway, so we made kites today. £3 each. And I didn't think they were going to fly. Yeah, because we've all tried to make kites and didn't think they were going to fly. And we took them over to a field later on. They were the best. The best kites I've had have been really cheap ones. The best kite I ever had was about 3 or 4 years ago. It was a Thomas the Tank Engine one, bit of plastic for £4. Flew like nothing I've ever seen. Stunt kites are Conkites.
Yeah.
Walter Conkites. You spend like 20, 30, 40. I had a kite as a kid, a stunt kite, and it would never fly. You want a bit of plastic with one string. That's it.
One of the last times I saw my granddad, he gave me a fiver like he always used to.
Yeah.
And he said, go and treat yourself.
Yeah.
Fiver. So I bought a crappy kite because I thought, well, the girls will like this too.
Yeah.
Still goes.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
And you saw the picture of my boys today. Those kites, they made them themselves. They cut them out from a template. They stock everything on and they decorated it. You saw how high they were going.
Yeah, really good.
£3. And they made it. And now we know how to make them as well. So we're going to do more of them. We're going to make kites. It was incredible. Proper old-fashioned. Then after that, there was a fair in Windsor that's supposed to open at 3. So we were going to go to the fair. But then we went to the fair and all the fair folk said, it's too hot. It's too hot. No one's coming. No one's coming over. All week we've been in. No one's come over at 3, so we're not going to open until this evening. So the boys were disappointed. And my little one's going, ah, oh, I was really going to go on that ghost train as well. No, you weren't. And there's a haunted house as well. So what we did, this is in Windsor, right? My boy said, oh, can we go and sit by the bank of the river for a bit? Yeah, sure, why not? And there was a mum and some of her kids, like, swimming in the river. Boy said, can we go in the river? Get in there. So they're going into the Thames, up to there. They didn't have any swimmers. They just got their shorts wet. It was a hot day. Who cares? So we made kites. I don't want to sound like the perfect dad because I'm not. Trust me. But old fashioned dad. We made kites. We flew kites. They paddled in the river. Then we went and fed the ducks. That is a day.
Meanwhile, at my house, I treated my girls for knits.
Oh.
Yeah, that happened.
I did have the sentence, though, said to me by my eldest, hey! And I went, what's going on? He just pushed his bum onto my nuts! From an 8-year-old. Wow. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. It's going to be one of the... It's too hot to care about Brexit. Although it's interesting that the new Brexit negotiator has been demoted. Have you seen that? He's been demoted.
Been a week even?
He found out because he got a Sky update on his phone when he was being questioned. And Theresa May's take. Anyway, it's too hot for that. It's too hot to talk about Muslims. It's too hot for any of that. So we're just going to chat. We're going to chew the fat, guys. We've got a couple of guys calling up already. I got an idea for a couple of silly games I want to play. We're just going to have fun tonight, guys. Okay? Going to have fun. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. It's pretty much free. Cost you pennies at the most. Free for most people. You'll speak to Sam. He will call you back. You come on the air. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
Late Night Conversation. Wealth. Losing sleep.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344-499-1000. Good evening, Nollocks.
Hello.
Hello, Nollocks.
Can I have your advice on something?
Can you do what?
I'm going to change my name, my birth name, but I don't know what to change it to.
Change it to Nollocks.
No, that's my real name.
Shut up, man.
It is, but guess what my nickname is, though?
Guess what your what?
My nickname is.
Sweaty Nollocks?
No, Ginger Nollocks.
Is it really?
Yeah, because I'm ginger. My name's
Nolan. Are you really? Yeah. Golly, golly, gosh.
But you know the other thing. What you started the show off is there too many Asians in the country. There is.
Right. Okay. Well, first of all, I didn't say that. And secondly, yeah. Okay. Well, you've just got banned for life. Because listen, I'm fine for having a little bit of fun, but when you just come on and spout the you know outright racist memes. And
I never said it was a bad thing.
You know, but you did by saying too many.
No, not just Asian. I meant
no, dude.
Polish,
it's dude.
European,
dude.
I wasn't being racist.
No, you put yourself a ban for life, buddy. Don't call us again. Thanks ever so much. Can you put a warning by his name? We're not having that. Sorry, YouTubers. You would have heard that. I'm all for you know guiding the youth and having a little bit of free form banter, but. And Nollock's been a bit funny before, hasn't he?
Every time he's been annoying.
Right,
so,
he's gone. Sorry, YouTubers, you don't need to hear that, and I'm sorry that you did, but if... oh, God, let's just get them out of the way. Yes, Mo?
Hi, man.
No, do you not, Mo? Mo, I don't want to talk to you tonight.
You just called...
There we go. Let's go to Zach. Good evening, Zach. I want to talk to Zach tonight. Let's start the show again. Those first two calls didn't happen... I want to talk to Zach tonight. Good evening, Zach.
Good evening, Ian and Kat.
This is what we want. Energy. Energy. Pizzazz. A spark.
Gotta love the energy.
Gotta love the energy coming out of my fingertips into the universe.
Real life just needs to run away.
Yes, man. Right, come on, Zach, let's do it. Let's do this now. We've bigged you up. Let's have it. Oh, I want to play a game with you, Zach. I thought we were going to play this game with Alan Caddick, but he's not here. Right.
Yeah.
So, What I want you to do, right? This sounds like a boring game, but it's a fun game. Okay. But you mustn't cheat. If you cheat, I will kill you.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So what you have to do is you have to, I'm going to say ready, set, it, go, and then you have to tell me when a minute is up.
Okay.
But I'm trusting you. I've been playing this a lot with my boys. So old-fashioned, right? But I'm trusting you not to look at a phone, a watch, not to look at anything that has the time on it.
Yeah, okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Steady? Go.
Yeah.
You can play this at home as well.
The awkwardness.
It's very awkward. You can play this at home, guys, if you want. You can phone up and play it. We can have head-to-heads. Got some fun games lined up today. Some real fun games lined up. You just tell me when you think a minute is up, Zach.
Just sweating in my room. Sweating.
I didn't ask for what you were doing! Sorry, man, I lost my temper there. Just let me know when a minute's up. I didn't shock you into death there, did I, Zach?
No.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay. Oh,
now.
We're going to get a little league table going. That's what we're going to do. It's going to be lots of silence tonight. We're going to get a nice little league table. So, Zach, you think that was a minute, do you?
Yep.
Don't know why I'm right in the middle of the page. You got 48 seconds. You were 12 seconds out, Zach. 12 seconds out. I was about... No, how about that, then?
It's all right.
It's
all right.
Not all right. It's terrible. And you are the perfect example of broken Britain. You are Brexit.
Okay, fine.
Hey, nice one, man. Thanks for the call.
Have a good
evening. Ta-ta. 03444991000.
Felt like his energy was gone by the time he left.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Spent force.
This is the thing, you see. This is the thing. That it will suck the energy out of the show significantly if we play that game.
Shanty Pony.
So, 03444991000. It's time for... What day is it today? Remind me.
Tuesday.
Ah, Tuesday. Time for Ian Lee's Moral Dilemmas. Let me cue the Ian Lee Moral Dilemma music.
Gonna rear a beard like a boy laser. Right before I done the war occasion.
Lee's Tuesday Moral Dilemma. So here's the moral dilemma tonight. As always, we're going to just put this out there. Kath and I are going to chew it around, kick it around, spit it out a bit, and then you're going to call in and you're going to give us your thoughts on it. It's a fun game. We do this every Tuesday evening. So I think there is nothing, as a parent, there is nothing more sacred to me than the trust that a parent has in a child and that a child has in a parent, okay? 03444991000. Obviously, the trust that a parent has in a child comes with responsibility. I like to trust that my kids are always doing the right thing, but I have to suspect that sometimes they are not. And I just have to keep my eyes open and my ears open, sorry, and to protect them. But the child, I believe, the innocent child, certainly the under 10s, have you just worked out where this is going?
No.
Then what are you angry about? Oh, because I took your mod ship off you on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Okay, well, because you were going to ban some people that I unbanned.
Well.
So I took your mod ship off you.
Fine.
So you're not a mod anymore.
Fine.
Okay.
You let the plebs do it. It's going to be mayhem.
If you're calling Gatford a pleb, then yes, I do. Mayhem.
You better restore it if you want any action from me tonight.
I don't want any action from you tonight. What the hell does that even mean? That's sexual hashtag Me Too generation stuff. Anyway, this is important. The trust that the kids have in the parents is it should be complete and absolute. okay? For example, a diary, okay? If a kid is writing a diary, then that...
You're pushing it, mate. I'll change the subject or restore one of my rights if you want to discuss this.
If a kid, say 7, 8, 9, has written a diary, then that should be private. The child should be able to trust that they can write on the front, top secret, do not read, no adults allowed, and then just like put it under the bed or under some socks and pants, and that should be enough. They should be able to trust the parent to know, I've written on it, no adults allowed, I've hidden it under my pants. Then that should be secure enough, okay? But what if, and this is where the dilemma gets really interesting tonight, 03444991000, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. What if the child has written a page in their diary that they disagree with all of a sudden? So instead of rubbing it out or going over it with Tippex, they rip the page out and throw it into the bin.
Without screwing it up.
Now, what would you think of a parent who discovered that torn out page from their child's diary, 9-year-old daughter's diary, who loves mummy and looks up to mummy as a working woman, an inspiration? What would you think of a parent who found the abandoned page, read it, and then told her work colleagues about what she'd read, quoting it almost word for word? Well, we can speak to a mum now. We're going to change her name. Let's call her Catherine, but with a C.
No.
Catherine, I believe this happened to you today.
I'd love to help you with this. There's something you need to do first.
Mummy wants some sugar.
So.
All right, I'll make you a mod again on the thing. But I don't, Matthew, can you make Catherine with a K, who's different from Catherine with a C, can you make her a mod again? Because I don't actually know how to do that. And while you're doing that, we're going to speak to Catherine about...
No, once it's been done, we'll discuss
crying
this.
Crying out loud. Let's play a trailer and then we'll come back. Unbelievable behaviour.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
Catherine, you should be a mod again on youtube.com/IanLee.
Sadly not, so...
Okay, well, why don't you try and type something?
I did.
Okay, it's going to take a while.
Okay,
I'll tell you what I think. I think that reading any child's diary, unless you're worried about, you know, some inappropriate sexual activity or drugs or something taking place, and you've got strong reason to suspect that, I think if reading any aspect, any part from a child's diary, whether it be actually hunting out the book itself or rifling through the bins to look for any discarded, the very same bin that a mother threw her daughter's first...
No, different bin.
...tooth in.
Different bin.
Try now, Catherine.
Right, we're in business.
Okay. What the hell were you thinking? Right. That is bang out of order what you did. You might as well have just gone and done a dump in your daughter's bedroom and said, look what mummy really thinks of you.
I would never admit to that.
Okay.
Here's the deal. There was a torn out piece of notepaper in my bin in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I was clearing out that said bin and I thought, has this note fluttered down from my tall boy? Or is this a stray note? If so, is it a to-do list? Is it something I need to remember?
Right, but because when I look at things the kids have written, instantly go, oh, it's some rubbish the kids have written. I'm not even going to look at that.
No. Okay. No. I picked out the piece of paper and it hadn't written very much, so I read it all in one go. I'm a very fast reader. I'm like Johnny Five.
Okay.
And then I read the back.
Right, and then you read the back, and then you came in and told me about it. She betrayed her twice.
Well, her that was mild price. Stuff. If it had been rude, she'd have ripped it up. It won't be rude. She's 9.
I think you betrayed her. I think you did a very, very low thing. What? I mean, what's next? You're going to swab her for DNA?
Pardon?
You're gonna swab her for DNA, like in the little cotton bud
in
the mouth.
Why would I do that? I remember her popping out. I don't need to check her.
To see what she's eating, what drugs she's taking. You're going to...
I'm on feeding her and giving her the drugs, so I know.
You're going to film her while she sleeps. You're going to collect her faeces in Tupperware, like that poo doctor lady who wasn't really a doctor.
Gillian McKeith.
That's the one. So you're going to do all of these things?
No, I'm not doing any of those things. And frankly, the fact that you've dreamed them up and done it so quickly is disturbing.
Okay. I just think that...
So she'd used the bin in my bedroom, which if she'd have been trying to cover any tracks, she wouldn't have done.
Katie on YouTube says, my ex-boyfriend read my diary and I got mad at him. And he decided to write in it. You can't write in someone else's diary. What the heck? That takes it to a whole new level. Writing in someone else's diary? What? That'd be great if you could...
You would know if I'd looked in your diary because you'd have a lot of corrections.
But imagine... That's rude. That's okay.
It's
okay.
True.
All right. Grammar shaming. That's the next thing. But it'd be great if you could forge someone's writing perfectly and then wrote in their diary things that hadn't happened. But so then they'd look back at it. Because when you look back at a diary, not that I've ever had one, but I've just finished reading the Amy Schumer book. Right? I don't really know a lot about Amy Schumer, but I had an hour and a half on my own before I had to be somewhere. There was a charity shop. I went in and bought the Amy Schumer book for £1 and confused you by saying it was Amy Poehler, but it was Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. And it was a good read. I read it a couple of days. Really good read, actually. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I think you might enjoy it. I'll bring it in. You can have it. I'm not going to read it again. It's not that good. And she does the classic thing, Catherine, of going back to her diary as a teenager and reading it and then, like, annotating it now. And she doesn't remember loads of stuff that she wrote as a 13-year-old girl. Who would? But so if you were to do that, then 20 years' time, Biggin looks at her diary and you've written, I don't know. I killed a cat. And I hate my mum.
I would never write that.
No, she's probably writing that already. I love my mum. She's the best mum in the world.
More like it.
She just wouldn't have a clue. She'd have to take that as gospel.
What, like gaslighting times 10?
Gaslighting, yes. Yes.
Gosh. Well, why would I do that?
Is gaslighting from what happened to Baby Jane? What's that from?
I think it's a film called Gaslight.
What happens in it? I know what happens in it.
Oh,
is it not? So what is? Because I've switched from Netflix to Amazon Prime, and there's loads of films on there that I've not seen, which I've put in my to watch list. Most of them I start 15 minutes in. Here are the films I've watched 15 minutes of on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
The Whole Nine Yards, starring Bruce Willis and one of the friends. The Boat That Rocked. God, that was awful. I started watching Jarhead yesterday, and I may go back to that because it's quite sweary. I like swearing in movies. I think it's big. I think it's clever. A few films like that. So whatever I was just saying.
Gaslight.
There we go. Thank you. So whatever happened to Baby Jane is on the list because I think I'd like that.
Oh gosh, I think it's going to give you a lot of ideas.
Okay. Ricardo is on the line. Good evening, Ricardo.
Ian, it's lovely to speak to you again.
Hey, of course it is, Ricardo. I'm a cool guy.
Well,
and you are not.
Well, let's not.
You're looking up at the star. You're looking up at the stars, and I'm looking down. I'm looking down at whence I came, and it's a it just reminds me to work even harder to stay up here. So thank you, Ricardo. It's great. It's humbling to speak to people like you.
Well, number one, that's a little bit rude. Number two, how will you ever know that you've walked near the stars if you haven't trodden on the moon?
That's kind of cute, but it's rubbish. That literally means nothing. But well done for trying.
It's really bad.
Well done for trying, my friend.
Okay.
What would you like to say tonight, Ricardo, one of the little people?
Well, apparently I'm a little person. I've never been called that before, so thank you very much.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. My absolute pleasure.
Well, at least you're not body shaming. So
no, I wouldn't do that. I'm not James Whale.
Well, he's a big guy, though.
I don't know. I certainly wouldn't comment on his weight on air like he has done about me. Anyway. Go on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No. Number one, it's been a long time. Number two, how is Kat?
Number three, why didn't you ask me?
Well, number four, I didn't hear that you were there.
Number five,
you've not been listening.
Thank you. Number six, have you been listening? He said, giving him the benefit of the doubt.
You're giving someone the benefit of the doubt. What has this person done to you? That's it. End of story.
Number seven, what the hell are you talking about, man? Are you drunk?
No, but you usually cut me off by...
Why would I cut you? I've just given you the benefit of the doubt. Have you been listening to the show, yay or nay?
What, recently?
Yes, okay, let's start with that. Yes, recently.
Meaning in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, no. What, is that a really bad thing, or...?
Well, it's not a really bad thing. People can call up and they want... But I do... And this isn't a bad thing at all, Ricardo. Of course, it's good to have you on board. But it does strike me as odd that people phone up when they're not, when they've not been listening. Do you not think that? Do you not think that's odd?
Have I been listening on and off for the last... For, God, how long has it been?
Jesus, mate. Make it sound like so much fun.
Just...
Come on. God, I've been listening. It's like you're doing a prison sentence, man. Come on! Mate.
Oh, I remember, I've done a 15 trips listening to Leah.
But so you've not been, when was, all right, and I'm not having a go. Genuinely, I'm fascinated. And I know we've got a few people that call in that don't listen, and that's groovy, man. I can dig it. But, so when was the last time you listened?
Oh, I think,
What year is it?
Well, you were getting annoyed about something, and...
Doesn't narrow it down that much, I'm afraid.
It doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. No. I'm going to give you that, and I think that's only fair. Mm. You were... Oh, you going to, like, Oh, what was it? Like a jungle or something?
Flippin' heck, man! That was like nine months ago. It's almost a year ago. Let's go to Kasif. Good evening, Kasif.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Kasif. Absolute pleasure. You are my number one caller. Would you like to play the 60-second game?
I don't know what that is.
I very, very simple. I'll explain it to you. I am going to say ready, steady, go. All you have to do is tell me when you think 60 seconds is up. Simple as that. Because we all know time. We all know time. We all know what's up. But actually, do we know time? Do we? So, are you ready? Do you accept the challenge?
Yes, go ahead, Ian.
Ready? All you got to do is just tell me when you think 60 seconds is up. Ready, steady, your time starts now.
I think I'm in it up now, Ian.
Oh, dude! Well, okay, we're gonna put this in tenths of seconds, hundredths of seconds, because, all right. How do you think you did, mate?
I don't know, probably about two seconds off.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah?
Were you counting?
Yeah.
It's very sensible, it's not against the rules. He's great. Kasif, 58.57 seconds.
Tight.
That is great.
I want to talk about something serious again.
Okay, we can talk about something serious. You've earned it. Well done. That's the best so far out of two.
Yeah.
What?
You yesterday talking about prison and a particular person coming out of prison who shot a famous person.
Oh, yeah, Mark Chapman who shot John Lennon, yes.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, if you became homeless, let's say, would you want to commit a crime and go to prison? Because a lot of homeless people get attacked and heckled on the street and they don't get warm meals and they don't get TV.
I love the idea of homeless people getting heckled on the street. You're a shit tramp! You're a shit... Heckled.
No, seriously, people get attacked on the street.
I know they do. Heckled is probably inappropriate, but I know. I do speak to homeless people quite often, and yeah, they go through horrible times. Would I? Who knows, Kasif? Who knows? You know what place one's mind would be in that situation? But I don't think your premise is as ridiculous as perhaps it might sound. But yeah, no, I think it's probably pretty common.
You wouldn't harm anybody. You would go with a baseball bat or cricket bat into a bank and say, I'm going to rob it. But you wouldn't harm anybody and then you just get put into jail for it. I mean, you get 3 warm meals, you get a roof over your head, you won't get any rain coming down on you. You'll get medicine care, you'll get regular showers.
I don't think I'd smash anything up. I might, flash or something.
Yeah, just threaten them, just get all the money out and then make sure nobody gets hurt. And then when they go to the judge, plead not guilty, so you get a longer sentence.
Oh, he's good. He's totally thought this out.
Yeah.
I think some people do it, Cassie. I know certainly that some people can't function outside of prisons. So if they've been to prison once, they'll commit a crime again. So they go back to the place that they know is safe.
Yeah, and a lot of homeless people have gone to shelters where they've been bullied or harassed. And they come out and they committed a crime, they can go to prison because prisons are more safer than shelters.
I think a lot of shelters are great. Let's not denigrate all shelters, but I know what you mean. And you're right, living on the street, it's some people still see it as crazy fun to go and beat up a homeless person. And, you know, when it gets cold and you're hungry, would I do it? I honestly couldn't say, Kasif. I wouldn't know. I'm hoping I'd get recognised by one of my fans and they'd let me go and live with them. Until I eventually gaslighted them and took over their property and their lives. It's not a ridiculous suggestion at all.
Yep, I mean, what a sorry state in our society. We treat criminals who break the law better than we treat a homeless.
Okay. There is... where would a homeless person get a cricket bat from?
I mean, he could pick up a plank of wood or something for the floor.
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, nick one. We're not worrying about breaking the law at this juncture.
Well, but
are
if you just get caught for nicking the plank of wood, then you'll just get you won't get a prison sentence.
Well, still, I mean, what do you do?
Well, they'll just go to fine me. Okay, well, you'll go to court and then you'll just get sent out with a warning. So that's wasted time.
But at least then I'm building up a bit of previous.
You're in the system.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's an idea, Kasif. All right. Thank you for that, man.
Thank you.
And well done. 58.57 seconds. That's the best so far.
Yeah.
Out of two.
Thank you.
There we go. It's my favourite caller. Shouldn't have favourites, but he's my favourite caller. This is my favourite music. This is Loot by Loot. I don't know. This is just Loot. This is lovely. This is great. What a great sound. Oh, and it's ended, and that's a great time to go to this break.
It's electric. It's eclectic. It's always rule-free. It's the late-night alternative with that man, Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number. So, I don't remember how you spell her name.
With a C.
Well, yes.
At the end as well.
Yeah, okay.
I.E.
That's not coming up when I do that. That's not coming up. I'll look in a minute. So this Saturday, Catherine and I, don't know. Catherine and I will be in Manchester. There's only 4 tickets left for the Rabbit Hole Live in Manchester, Saturday evening, 7:30. And it's 2 halves, about 45 minutes each. It doesn't matter if you're coming on your own. You're very welcome to come. Lots of people will be coming on their own. It's a very friendly, small, intimate audience. If you need to sneak off early to get a train, as I know a couple of people do. That's cool as well. We'll make a big deal of it, but that's a bit in a friendly way. And then afterwards, me and Kath stick around for pictures and stuff and say hello. We stick around for half an hour or so and have pictures. And if you want to ask us any questions, you're very, very welcome to. If you want to get tickets for that or any of our shows, Scotland, Edinburgh and Glasgow, shouldn't you say Scotland generically, Edinburgh and Glasgow, Bath and Brighton. If you go to ianlee.com/event. ianlee.com/event. Let's go to Wasim. Good evening, Wasim.
Ian, evening. How's it going, mate?
It's all right. I've got a little frog in my throat, but I'm okay. Go on.
Just have some water or something.
Thanks, man. Yeah, good suggestion. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I've just turned 33.
Okay. What do you want?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was going to say to you, I know you don't do shit about my birthday, but I was going to say, you know the audition you had for Hollyoaks? I know you didn't get in. What are you trying for EastEnders?
Phil
Mitchell's long-lost sister.
Because it doesn't work like that. You kind of got to be asked to go for an audition.
Yeah,
I need to go out and cough. Catherine, can you talk to... Well, same, because I need to...
OK. Oh, dear.
I don't think Catherine's talking to me. What, I said the S word?
Yeah, well, don't say it again. You said it twice now. One more and I'm going to kick you off.
Sorry, madam.
That's all right. Don't be cheeky. I'll kick you off for that as well.
I'm just being respectful to my elderly.
Sorry?
I'm just being respectful to the elderly.
OK. Anyway, have you got anything fun to say, or are you just going to do this?
And then I was wondering, Ian's blocked me on Twitter.
Yeah, probably has. What, he's actually blocked you rather than just muting you?
I think he's actually blocked me. I think I pissed him off in the past.
Oh, wonder how that could have happened.
Things happen, don't they?
Yeah, sometimes on purpose.
I don't really mind. I'm not really obsessed with Ian anyway.
I blocked him. I blocked everyone, the idiot.
No, you haven't unblocked me. I'm still blocked.
You're still blocked.
No,
you're not.
It's unblocked, quite funny, though, to be honest with you.
You're unblocked.
Really?
Yes, mate, I unblocked you. I unblocked everybody. And I'm going to try... Let me go and check. I'm trying to do an experiment where I don't block anybody, but it's really hard because people on Twitter.
Fair, mate, some people are getting some people are getting really offensive.
Yeah, I'm rude and talking over each other. Yeah, you're unblocked, mate.
Oh yeah, I'm unblocked. So, listen, Ian. Before I go, I was wondering what's happening with the trip with you and Ian. With you and Amir going to Pakistan?
Doesn't look like it's happening.
Oh, that's a shame, man.
Yeah, the momentum. The thing is, you do something big like the jungle. And loads of TV companies go, well, let's work together. We'll come up with the show. Let's work together. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And then the momentum dies off and they're already looking at the people who are going to be doing the jungle this year. That's the natural cycle of things. So,
To be fair, I think it would have been a good documentary.
Yeah, I was talking. We put forward this idea of me and Amir going to Pakistan and some people got very excited about it. And, yeah, this would definitely happen. And it didn't. And that's fine. And my sort of little... 3 month window of being able to, you know, walk around ITV like I own it has closed, and that's fine, and I enjoyed it while it lasted and it was lovely, and I probably invested a little bit too much emotion in it, but that's cool. And it's gone, and I'm still getting, you know, lovely little gigs. I'm doing Loose Women tomorrow, lovely stuff like that, doing a competition on Loose Women. That pays half the mortgage. Not in the new place, but that pays better than you might think. So I'm cool, man. I'm cool with all of that. Loose Women tomorrow, guys. I don't know where I'm somewhere in Twickenham, I think. Doing so. I don't know. I should have a look, really. I'll have a look at the script. 03444991000. The gentleman who called in earlier on, who Nollock is calling in from doing that thing that young people can do where they can make it look like they're calling from America. But I don't know any phone number in America that's 0000000000, which is what's showing up on my screen. So that ain't working, I'm afraid, Nollock. So you're going to have to try a little bit harder if you want to get out of my show. Let me tell you that. What have I written? Oh, yeah, there's that. Oh, so the new show, by the way, to the gentleman, Dave is his name. Let's call him Dave, because that's his name, who has basically is my new guy. He's my new source. He's my new person that kind of hits me up when I need a fix. He's the guy, Catherine, that gets us Dr. Pimple Popper episodes in ways that we shouldn't really be able to see it. Some show. So Dr. Pimple Popper is this...
disgusting.
Doctor, what's her name? Dr. Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Attractive woman. And I say that because it is part of the selling point is it's such a gross subject presented by an attractive woman. And it's the juxtaposition of the two.
She's charming. She's friendly.
Yeah,
and funny. She also isn't afraid to get her thumbs together and squeeze.
Oh, mate. So basically... each week there are kind of three stories. She's a dermatologist, right? And one of them will be, what do they call it, a lymphoid?
Lymphoma.
A lymphoma, which is like a big lump that you, it's
fat.
A lump like the size of maybe, the biggest one was like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
And they cut it open and they pull it out and that's fat. That's a cheat. Another one will be something more serious, but there will always be one that involves squeezing. And this guy, we're talking about bowling balls. His lump just above his knee was a little bit smaller than a bowling ball. Melon. I would say a big melon. And everyone, we're all thinking, oh, it's going to be a lymphoma, it's going to be a lump of fat, you're just going to cut us. And that, to me, is disappointing.
The thing that made me think it might not be was he said it was painful.
Yeah. So she took a, took an injection to it and pulled out some stuff. She went, yeah, that's a cyst. Whoa! So she cut open...
At this point, Ian gets very excited because he knows what's coming
next. It's incredible. So she cuts open the cyst. Not a big cut. And then she squeezes. She's squeezing a melon-sized lump on his leg. And out comes... Well, I call it cottage cheese. You might want to call it mashed potato.
Rice pudding.
Rice pudding. Just... And you know those silver kidney dishes? That's what they are. You know, the silver kidney dishes you get in hospital. She fills the silver kidney dish with whitey grey pus. It is incredible. I've never seen anything like it. Out of this world.
It made me heave a bit.
Oh, it was disgusting. It was disgusting. Because, you know, if you go on YouTube and type in pimple poppers or spot zit squeezers or is it, there's loads of videos of them. It's, people find it very relaxing to watch these. Make sure there's a number to call back. They find it very relaxing to watch these videos and to you know, kind of, I guess similar way that ASMR, you know, that attention bars.
they don't tend to say that.
Okay.
I found that channel.
I don't know how you heard that, because I didn't even say anything. I was just thinking it.
Because I can hear you talking about that.
Maybe we'll do an ASMR later on tonight, because it's so hot. People are going to struggle to sleep. Maybe we'll do an ASMR. If only we had stereo separation here. God, listen to me geeking off. But this was stunning. And this, the relief on this guy's face, because you know what it's like, dear listener. If you've got a spot, like on your face or on your back, the ones on the back are the ones.
The ones that really throb, like they've got their own heartbeat.
Yeah. And it's painful when you first break the skin, but then just that relief, and sometimes you can hear that as it comes out. I love it.
And also it stops hurting, doesn't it, the more you press.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Then a little bit of blood comes out at the end. That means you're done, and you wipe it, and you, the next morning there's like a little blood dot on your sheet, and that's like another tally for great spotsmanship. I love it.
Spotsmanship.
But now I'm single. I've got, and this may be why I'm single, I've got no one to squeeze my spots on my back for me. Kath?
No, thanks.
I'll give you an extra fiver in your pay packet each week.
No, thanks.
Okay. If any ladies, I'm going to be honest, any gentlemen out there want to get involved and want to squeeze the spots on a former I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here contestant's back, then you'd be very, very welcome. I love it. Oh, I love it. But I don't know where the pimple pop... Doctor, you shouldn't really watch shows illegally. Right, okay, but I'm in the media, so I'm allowed to. But I don't know if it's showing in this country. I think it's only an American show, which is a shame. It's good to watch it. It's an hour long, and... Well, it's about 45 minutes, and it's good to watch it where you can skip forward, because a lot of the stories, although the story of the woman who had pus coming out from her armpits, pus coming out from her armpits and under her boobs, there was pus coming out, Sam, there was pus coming out.
And also, I think she had in the sort of crook of her leg, I think it was in the general sweaty spots.
Pus was coming out. But then her story was fascinating, because... It suddenly took a twist from this is really painful and this is what it looks like and what, to her mum dying when she was a kid and her not getting on with her stepmum Rhonda, going, well, my stepmum Rhonda, she got with my dad 4 months after my mother had passed and she has no interest in my condition. At the queue, Rhonda and dad coming around, sitting down, and this woman standing up going, well, I'm really got a lot of pus coming out from under my boobs today, and if you could have a look... She takes off her top...
Rhonda's already said, I found it very graphic, I find it very disturbing, Rhonda, and she's making her have it.
Rhonda doesn't want to look at that.
I didn't want to look at that.
Rhonda doesn't want to see that. Rhonda doesn't want to help that.
Well, the dad said, listen, honey, there's nothing I can do about it. And it turns out he's right. He's not a dermatologist.
No, he's just a bloke. It's
Dr. Lee.
But you raise a good point, that the reason this show exists... is because in America, of course, there's no NHS, so you'd have to pay, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars, possibly, to get all of that stuff sorted out.
The bloke with the big melon on his knee
had
that since he was 8.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was what? 45?
Oh, easily, yes. He'd had it since he was, I think he was 12. And it started, and it probably came from an injury, Dr. Lee, Dr. Pimple Popper was saying. But yeah, you'd have to pay thousands of dollars to go and get that sorted out. That seems like such a nuts concept that you can't... You go to a doctor and they say, oh yeah, we can treat that, but we reckon it's going to be like $15,000. You go, I think I'm going to leave it.
And yet, well, he said that doctors had looked at it and said, oh, well, everyone's got lumps and bumps. Fancy leaving a kid of 12 with that.
But shame on him for not trying to give it a good squeeze himself, getting a compass in there and working a hole in it and breaking the seal and squeezing it himself. That seems like... I would be in bed at night going... I'd get... I would put it on the side of a table, get a Bible...
No.
Whoa!
But it was really painful, remember, when he banged it.
You got to go for it.
Oof.
I would do it on the air now. I would rest it on here. I'd get you to slam it with the Bible or the Quran. I'm not.
No, not the Quran. That's disrespectful.
Oh, but hang on.
No. But seriously, with the Quran, I was given a Quran once and I was told I had to keep it in a certain way. You're not allowed to be slamming things with it.
Oh, but you're allowed to slam the Bible into cysts? What the hell is going on? You're saying that Allah wouldn't want... it's just Jesus that was the healer? Come on, Catherine. No. I've got a Quran and I'm going to slam it on a cyst. 03444991000 is the telephone number. If you've got a cyst and a holy Bible or a holy book that you'd like us to use on it, then do give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, 03444991000. That wasn't the best recording of that. I'm going to find a better recording because that's a great song. Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. Hey, ghouls. TMZ is the ghoulish website in the world, isn't it? I don't even know who Demi Lovato is. She's a pop singer, right?
And yes.
She's potentially had a heroin overdose. First of all, how the hell do I know about it? How do I know about it? How do I know something that's quite private? Because the police told some crappy ghoulish showbiz website, and now all the...
Or they were using scanners.
Oh, God's sakes, man. Poor woman is obviously struggling. Why... To hear of a young woman, any person, but a young person in particular, who has almost killed themselves with what is, one of the most tempting and, apparently the most delicious drugs of all time, but is also one of the most horrendous in what it does and how it makes you feel and how it changes your personality. I get no pleasure from hearing that. And all the showbiz go, oh, Demi Lovato's had a drug overdose. Heroin. Well, if you're getting pleasure out of that, maybe you need to reconsider your careers, because... that is, it's none of our business, and it's really, really sad. It's really sad. Awful.
That poor girl.
That poor, poor girl. So if you're running around, TMZ, Jesus, man, what a scummy website. And anybody who's rubbing their hands going, oh, we got a great story now, guys. We got a great, Demi Lovato. Yeah, she took a heroin overdose. Fingers crossed, she might die. That's what some people are thinking.
It's like Britney all over again, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Just, do you know what? Leave her. So all this, yesterday, Ant is seen out with his new girlfriend and he's got the Alcoholics Anonymous logo tattooed on his wrist. So what? So what has that got to do with me? How is printing that going to help him get his life back on track? How is that going to help? All right, I can understand, actually, that maybe someone at home who's struggling with booze could see that and go, okay.
Well, not in the snidey tone it's delivered.
No, exactly.
What it does is it puts shame on something that feeds off shame.
I don't know, Anne. I met him, a handful of times on the show. You need to meet them offset. But I know more about his alcohol problem than I should. I never even really heard of Demi Lovato. I think I've seen a poster for her on the A4 as I drive into work. I think there's a poster for her advertising YouTube or something. It's pretty much all I know. I couldn't pick her out in a lineup. But now I know that she's probably had a heroin overdose and has been rushed. Why should I know that? I shouldn't know that. This stuff is private, man. For God's sake, that's a soul crying out for help, not for, private information to be broadcast around the world. That's why I'm reluctant. I know that was my stomach. I know a lot of you have got something, I don't want to say solace, but have got something from me talking about my relationship with drugs. And some of you have identified with it, and some of you have laughed at it, and that's cool if that's what you want. And some of you, maybe two or three of you have considered perhaps your relationship with drugs after hearing with mine. My relationship with drugs over the past 6 months has taken a really interesting turn, but I'm reluctant to share it because it'll get in the Mirror online, or it'll get in the Sun, or it'll get somewhere, So I could come on and talk about relapses, I could talk about recovery, I could talk about the rooms, I could talk about all of these things. But then it becomes tragic. Tragic comic Ian Lee, former I'm a Celebrity contestant, reveals his dark drugs shame as he sinks into relapse. I've got no shame about my drugs use. I've got shame about how I treated people. I've got no shame about it. It's not shame. If I wallow in the shame, I'm screwed, man. But I can't come and share this stuff that might be helpful to one other person, because it becomes a story online, and then members of my family get embarrassed. But, all of this stuff. So screw you, papers.
It gets turned into entertainment.
Yes.
And then if you don't play ball and you don't keep talking about it as often as they want you to talk about it, it's like you're being weird.
Here's what every showbiz reporter wants, apart from me when I'm a Good Morning Britain, is they want a picture. They want a picture of Demi Lovato, slumped up against the wall. They want a picture of me scoring some coke. They want a picture of Gazza coming out the off license. That's what they want. They want at McPartland getting in that car pissed again. That's what they want.
Then they can do faux concern and outrage.
Yes.
And you're entertaining them.
You're right. It's entertainment. People's mental health. And addiction is a mental health issue, guys. And addiction is a disease. It's like it's the same thing. And this will annoy people. Well, if it annoys you, good. You're an idiot and you don't deserve to listen to this show. It's like following someone round who's having chemo, right? Going, hey, look at this. Hey, the actors, look how thin they are because they got cancer.
Well, they do that.
Yeah, that, well, they do that. You're right. They do that. You know, it's the same thing. It's a disease, man. It's a disease. No one chooses to be an addict. Oh, yeah, they choose to take drugs. Yeah, you choose to put that first drug in your system. Yeah, okay, fine, I'll give you that. But then no one chooses. When addicts put a chemical in their body, that's it, man. That's game over. That changes everything. So no one makes that choice to be an addict or to be an alcoholic or to be a sex addict or to be, you know, a compulsive eater. No one is at home as a 14-year-old going, man, when I grow up, I really want to stuff my face full of food, but lie about how much I eat and then make myself throw up. That's no one's ambition. That's a disease, man. That's a disease. So, you ghoulish showbiz reporters, you've got a little boner because some pop star is, because some human being has overdosed on, you know, a very, very naughty drug. Well, screw you guys. Screw you. Why don't you publish online, all you showbiz reporters, your Pornhub choices? Why don't you publish online all of the dirty little dark secrets that you've got, all of your kinks and your fetishes, and the number of times you took coke in a toilet at a club? And why don't you publish that online? Why don't you expose yourselves to the same scrutiny and the same ridiculous rules that you think that everyone else should live by? God's sake, that's what they should do. Publish your Pornhub search history online. That was a line from Limmy once, you know, that You can judge every man by their Pornhub search history. And it's right, you know, you can publish that online. Then we'll start talking about it. Let's go to Sean. Good evening, Sean.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, female pal.
There we go, female pal.
I thought you said senile for a minute, but you've pulled it back. That's fine.
Oh, mate. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'll kick off with my usual Paul McCartney topic.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see his Instagram earlier? He recreated the Abbey Road walk.
I've seen the picture in the papers, yes. But why is he wearing sandals? He should have done it barefoot.
He should have done. He should have been consistent with the previous picture.
Yeah, he should have done, man. Yeah, it's good. It's nice seeing all this Paul McCartney activity. I wish I had a ticket for the shows, but there you go.
Oh, it was absolute. Well, I didn't get any tickets last week. I don't know if you had the same problem as most people did, but I went on to the website and all the tickets were pretty much sold out as soon as it went, you know, at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, the problem I had was I forgot. And so I looked at the evening and they were all gone. And it's like, and then I go to the hooky websites that I sometimes frequent. And man, I can't pay £500 for a ticket to the O2 Arena right at the back. So, I've seen him a few times. So I'm, you know, I'll make room for others this time.
Fair enough. I'm sorry, Colin.
Yeah, I'm a good guy.
So, this was something you brought up, I think, a week or two ago, yes. And I had a little think about it.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I've come to a conclusion, so this might be a little bit wishy-washy, but
okay.
I'll try and be concise.
Hey, all of our arguments on this show are wishy-washy if you poke them too much, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's very true. So it was about, you're talking about being patriotic.
Yeah.
And a lot of people calling to various stations and having a sort of patriotism sort of element.
Yeah.
And so I tend to agree with you in the sense that, you know, we are on this planet and there are pieces of land. And it, over centuries, you know, these ideological leaders have set out countries based on what they think, you know, how this piece of land should be run. Yeah. And it is kind of, you know, ideally, it would just be one piece of land on Earth. Everybody gets on and that would be great. But obviously, that's not the case.
Yeah.
So I kind of agree with you. That would be the ideal scenario.
Okay.
But then I'm sort of a very passionate football fan as well.
Yes.
I support England. So in that regard, I guess I'm sort of hypocritical in that sense. I'm supporting a nation instead of thinking of what I was saying before.
Well, no, hey, listen, I guess supporting a nation is like supporting any football team. If that brings you pleasure, then, you know, that's fine. It's like people who live in London support Manchester United and stuff like that. But by the same reckoning, you could also, you know, you could support France or you could support Brazil, you know, with the same passion.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And I guess it comes under, I suppose, another word you can kind of relate to this is tribal, you know, especially with, you know, this Brexit scenario where we're all having to go through, unfortunately. It's, you know, tribalism is kind of, you know, it's the word of the day. And I guess that's kind of an element too, really. But I just thought it was an interesting thing you brought
no,
up.
No, I just, I did, for those who missed it, I don't get patriotism. I don't get it. It's you know, luck that I was born in a country that's kind of all right compared to a lot of other countries, not as good as a few other. Why don't you go and live in them? Because my kids are here and my job is here, you absolute idiots. Because it's going to be difficult for me to move to Canada. I'd love to live in Canada or Japan. I really would. I bet they'd be great countries to live in. But I can't because my kids live here and my career is here. So that's kind of the way it is. Maybe later in my life we'll see. But I don't get patriotism. I'm not, you know, I don't consider myself English or British or European. I consider myself, and I know it sounds hippie-ish, I'm a human being, man. I'm a human being. That to me is it. And most people who I see, he said, giving himself a little caveat, most people who I see being patriotic just seem like the real kind of people I wouldn't want to hang out with. Don't necessarily mean racist. Don't necessarily mean thugs, but the people on Twitter with the flag of St. George, generally they're arseholes, you know, people that, you know, patriots, Jacob Rees-Mogg and Nigel Farage, patriots, God, I don't want to be associated with those people. And if I'm completely honest, I don't really like this country. I don't like it. I don't like a lot of its attitudes. I don't like a lot of the people that are here. I don't like the politics. I don't like the television. I don't like a lot of I don't like it. And that's okay for me to say that. That's my freedom of speech, man. I'm just exercising my freedom of speech. Also, and someone said, yeah, well, if you lived in Syria, you wouldn't be allowed to say that. I get it. This country's better than some and worse than others. I get it, but I don't really like it. And I just don't like the tone. Here it is. If I kept speaking, I get it. And I'm going to say something that's really vague, but I just don't like the vibe of this country at the moment. Do you know what I mean, Kath?
It's defensive.
Yeah. Don't like the vibe of this country. You switch on the radio and it's obnoxious and angry, you know. You walk down the street and there's anger. Not always. There's some lovely moments. Hyde Park was lovely. The Paul Simon thing was lovely. There was a nice vibe there. But, Sean, it's the vibe of the country that I can't stomach anymore.
Yeah, it is. And the things you've said there, the two words that came to my head and I thought of, you know, there's England flags and the Rees-Mogg thing. The two words that came to my mind was like, it's quite overbearing.
Yeah.
You see a lot of those flags and those profiles come from Twitter. And I just found some of it quite archaic.
And well, I saw a really good quote and I can't remember it. Can't remember the quote. I can't remember who it was by. So this is going to give no one any solace at all. But it was basically poking fun at people. It's an old quote by a famous person. That narrows it down for you. But it's basically poking fun at people who invest so much in the flag. We can't fly the flag anymore because people think it's... No, people don't think it's racist. No, but why would you want to fly the... Why would you want to fly the flag of St. George? Why? What does that do for you?
I heard a lot of those discussions on LBC and a bit on this station too about you can't fly the flag anymore ahead of the World Cup. And I was thinking, how many of those presenters talking would have a flag of St. George sticking out the top of their car? Not one. So you can fly the flag. You don't want to, as much as other people don't see the point in it either.
Yeah, you can fly. This whole thing. Yeah, OK, there was a brief period, kind of the 70s and 80s, when the flag was taken over by the NF and by the BNP in the 90s a little bit. But you could still fly the flag. It's not our fault. It's not my fault that it had a racist connotation for some people. This whole thing about you can't talk about immigration or you can't fly the flag. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can talk about it. Just, you know, if you say stuff that's racist, you'll be called a racist. Of course you can fly the flag, but why would you want to, really? Why do you want to display the flag from your bathroom window or from your car or in your front garden?
Because right, this is the thing as well. We're in England. I'm secure in that. I don't need to... Who am I showing it to?
They're allowed to fly the flag of ISIS. No, they're not.
The reason they do it in America is because they're a particularly young country and they're still trying to grab that identity. Yeah. I'm pretty secure in the fact that I live in England and I don't feel like I need to demonstrate it to anyone else.
Hey, nice one, Sean. Thank you, mate. We appreciate those intelligent listeners who cogitate and think about stuff and then give us a call. So thank you, man.
Thanks a lot. I'll see you in Manchester on Saturday as well.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta. Mark, stay there. We'll come to you next, I promise. 03444991000, the late night alternative. Weeknights from 10 with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle, only on Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Evening, boss.
The unpredictable.
What's happening?
And the completely unorthodox.
Exactly.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I've got no internet for the last 4 days.
On Talk Radio.
I wonder how Nigel's mum is. I would imagine it slowly improving, but in a similar situation as old people often are after a fall.
I spoke to him on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
He said that she's doing all right. He said she's still a bit poorly and she's still in hospital and she'll be there for a while. Okay. But he sounded a lot happier in himself. And he said he was eating properly, not just crisps.
I wonder, completely hypothetical and complete speculation, and he won't be listening. So, but, you know, having had a mum who was in hospital for 3 months while they sorted out a care package, I would imagine they're putting together a care package. Mm. And as often in these situations, they like to try and keep the person at home. But I wonder, you know, it sounds like she's had a nasty tumble. I wonder how feasible it is for her to go back home. And I wonder what will happen to her. And I do wonder what will happen to Nigel. I wonder if, you know, Nigel obviously has his problems. And I wonder if he is, I wonder if he has enough responsibility for himself to live at home on his own. I wonder what would happen to him. It's interesting. I do think about these things from...
Well, he has been while she's been away.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to Mark. Good evening, Mark.
Hiya.
Hello, Mark. What you got?
I'm just apologising for the other night. You know, when I went off on one.
What did you say? I don't remember.
I was going on about tattoos and all sorts of bobbins, but I was drunk.
I don't remember. What did he say?
You called me Richard Gunslinger the other night, didn't you? You blocked me on Twitter.
Well, what did you say, dude? You're going to have to give me a little bit more than just being all this vague
stuff.
I didn't
say anything. I just started going on. I was everyone on the.
You must have said something, because I wouldn't have cut you off and blocked you.
It was when it was Saturday night, I think it was.
Friday night.
Well, Saturday night. You're the gunman.
Yeah.
Oh, you're an idiot. No, you're an arsehole. Kath cut you off. You gave us some lip online. Shut up and listen. You gave us some lip. Shut up and listen, boy. You were sexually aggressive on YouTube. I blocked you.
Sexually aggressive.
Yes.
It was a bit sleazy in retrospect.
You were sexually aggressive on YouTube. I blocked you. Well, then I didn't hear you speaking to Kath on Friday, but she cut you off because it was her show. Shut up and listen, man! Shut up and listen! She cut you off, and I back her up 100% because it was.
I'm ready to apologise.
Shut your face! Shut your face! Shut up!
All right.
She cut you off, which is totally her decision to do, and I bet it was the right decision.
Of course, I agree.
Will you shut your mouth? Jesus, this isn't funny. If anything, I would have probably cut you off quicker than she did because she's too nice. And then you start giving her cheek on Twitter.
I was asking the question on
Twitter. You started giving her cheek and then deleting your tweets like a coward.
Not cheek, man.
Well, hang on a minute. You just said you weren't sexually aggressive and I say you were. Catherine, what did this... Shut your face, scumbag. What did this arsehole of a human being say to you,
right,
Catherine?
Right, OK, so when he came on air on Friday, hang on, are you going to let me speak,
Catherine,
or are you going to talk... Do you know what? If I speak, they can't hear you, so you might as well just hang on. So we were talking online, on the radio, and you made a few comments that made me and Katie kind of shrink up a little bit because it was just a bit, you know, a bit sleazy, like you said, and you admit that yourself, right? And then...
Speak into the phone properly if you're going to speak!
And then you thought it would be funny to do a mock Indian accent, at which point I went, do you know what?
Yes.
That's probably enough now. And do you know what? Everyone else gets cut off because I haven't got a fader, so at some point I have to finish the conversation. And you made that decision for me.
I woke up in the morning, I was proper embarrassed about
good.
It.
Good.
But
because I pulled your pants down on Twitter, I don't know if you noticed.
The sleaziness was a parody of Jim out of the Friday Night Dinner, though. It wasn't me.
Of course it was. Yeah, you're in character. Were you in character on YouTube as well?
No, I was doing an impression of Jim off Friday Night Dinner.
What, all the time?
No, just that, hello, you look nice, that bit.
It wasn't just that, though, was it? Anyway, it doesn't matter, you know, done.
I'm just ringing up to apologise.
Okay.
But no, you're not. You're not ringing up to apologise. You're ringing up to apologise with conditions.
No conditions.
Well, there are. The conditions...
You're thinking not to apologise because it's all about you, because you were embarrassed.
I was embarrassed, but I want you to know that it wasn't...
But then when we're trying to reiterate... What has happened? No, I didn't do that. Oh, no, I wasn't doing that. Oh, no, you misunderstood. Well, no, that's not an apology.
I proper regret it because it was taken wrong. I did it as a parody.
It was taken wrong. I got it wrong, did I?
Sorry?
It's not an apology, is it, saying that I took it wrong?
No, I apologise for doing it it was taken wrong.
Nope. First bit is an apology, the second bit takes it away.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
yes!
That's how apologies work.
I'm sorry for what I did, but you misunderstood me.
Everything before but is bullshit.
Irrelevant if it was an apology. If it was a parody, I'm sorry for everything.
No. If is also...
You're not having it, are you?
No. You don't know how to apologise without making an excuse.
Now.
Right.
Because... Shut up. Because, first of all, you're not blocked on Twitter by me.
You did block me. Richie, what did you call me? Richie Gunslinger.
Could you listen? Because you're an idiot. You're not blocked on Twitter by me.
You are. Rudy71.
You're not blocked. You're not blocked on Twitter by me. I don't know how. Right, listen, you're the second idiot to phone up and say I blocked you on Twitter when I unblocked everybody about a week ago.
Yeah, and last night on your radio show, you said I blocked another guy, and that was me. Richie, you call me Richie Gunslinger. You blocked me yesterday.
No, mate, you're not blocked. You're a liar.
I'll see the photograph and...
You're a liar. You're not blocked. I'm going to block you. I'm going to hunt you down. You're not blocked. I unblocked everybody last week, you liar. Now, because me and Catherine are great... Man. Shut your face. Because me and Catherine are... We are...
best friends, yeah.
Shut your face, boy.
Ooh.
Because we are great human beings, we are. We are very enlightened, and we put up with some of the biggest dicks ever, and you're one of them.
I've seen all that.
Yeah, you're one of them. So, you're a liar. You're not blocked on Twitter, and you got one more chance. I've unblocked you on my YouTube channel. But if I... see anything like that, if, I've forgotten your name, sorry.
It'll never happen again.
Shut up, boy! Talking to my female pal. I'm sorry. Catherine. If Catherine sees anything, if Matthew, if Lauren, if Gatford, if Sitstown, if any of my mods see anything, you're out, you're blocked.
I want Catherine to have some apology, because it was her show.
Well, you can't make someone accept an apology, Hitler.
I know I can't.
I'm just begging for it. Don't beg, just don't do it again. Then we'll be square.
I won't do it again, Captain.
Right, I'm not interested in apologies, just don't do it again.
Thanks for your call, Mark. I really appreciate your time. Go and buy a new phone, you're an idiot.
Don't tweet drunk. Don't phone up drunk. And if you do, you're bad.
The Late Night Alternative with that man, Ian Lee. There's no strangers here, just friends you haven't stalked on Facebook yet.
Have never sent my picture to anyone who didn't request it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Yes.
So there's some great footage out there, guys, of Soldier 0344 499 1000. Slow enough for you? There's some great footage out there, guys, of a soldier at Windsor Castle doing the old up, two, three, four, get it up, two, three, four, doing that, marching up and down as they do. I lived in Windsor. Don't tell anyone, but I'm still keeping my Windsor resident card, which gets me into the castle for free. And I've seen those guards. Those guards at Windsor, right? They're real soldiers. They're real bored soldiers, right? They drew the short straw. And I have seen... You can kind of get near them for a photograph, but you don't want to go and stand right next to them or right in front of them.
And don't take the mic, because they get riled.
I've seen some tourists get too close to a soldier, stood there, stood to attention, and the soldier has shouted from nowhere, "Get back from me!" And it was terrifying, and it was a bit, whoa, but they're soldiers, man. Who knows if that, you know, that nice Japanese tourist is actually a terrorist? You don't know. You don't know. And you've got a bit of respect. The soldiers, they've got guns. And there's some great footage out there of this soldier marching. And there's a rope. There's a rope, even. And on one side of the rope is the soldier. And the other side of the rope are tourists taking the picture. Except one of the tourists climbs over the rope, has her back to the soldier, is standing in the soldier's path and having her picture taken. All right, that's a pretty dangerous game of chicken, but okay, maybe in my younger days I'd have played a game of chicken like that. I just don't know. But what's great is the soldier doesn't stop, doesn't move out of the way, doesn't tell her to get out of the way. He shoves her. He shoves her, and he shoves her hard. Good. He's doing a job. He's not there. Okay, it's a bit of a touristy thing. Of course, when you go to the castle, you want to see the soldiers march. Of course you do. It's fun. Boys like it. I get a bit of a thrill from it.
But they're working.
They're working. They're doing armed. The job. He's got a gun, man. Standing in the way of his, of where he's marching. The fella taking the picture goes, "All right, get quick, out of the way, get out of the way. He's coming." It's just stupid. We don't cross over ropes. When the ropes are up there, we don't cross over those. You leave it.
The trouble is, some people treat it like Disneyland, and it's like getting a picture next to Snow White. Well, the thing is, Snow White is about 6'4" and armed.
Yeah, exactly, man. You can't mess around with those dudes. So there's a thing online, and some people are going, "Well, this is out of order." He's a soldier, and he's doing a job. Was he supposed to stop and wait?
Or, comically, walk around her, get out of her photo, duck underneath it. It's not happening.
I think he did the right thing there. 03444991000. You got any stories? Or shall we dive into the papers?
Well,
if you reaching for your laptop then was to you to find some stories.
I could find stories fast. Well,
I got stuff.
Have you?
I got stuff. I just thought that maybe we watched what do they call that programme?
The Love Island.
I was gonna say Titty Beach, but yes.
That's what it is.
I was thinking it's not called that, but that people will understand what that means.
And I've worked out what's going on with their bikinis. You know the bikinis that look like they've got them back to front and they're eating them with their bottoms? They're called V-kinis.
V-kinis?
Yeah, because they're supposed to be cut away like that.
Right,
apparently,
okay.
That's comfortable.
Okay. We were watching that, and I don't really understand what's... We don't watch it every day, or I certainly don't. And there seem to be new people there. Yesterday, they were doing a lie detector. And as one of Danny Baker's daughters pointed out on Twitter today, lie detectors owned by ITV, used on Jeremy Kyle and Love Island, they're rubbish. And they are. The lie detectors are rubbish. They're not... And also, those ones you wear around the chest, that's not proper... I'm assuming that's what they use on Jeremy Kyle, right? And I always assumed that the Jeremy Kyle lie detector was the kind of the ones that the American CIA use, where you're like wired up your fingers, you've got it all over your chest, mm-hmm. all over your hands, and it's like the thing, and it's not a simple yes or no. It's you've got to interpret all of the lines as one, take the overall picture before you, that's what I thought. But they just wear a little thing that clips around their chest and meh. Beep.
And
bing.
Call me a cynic,
yeah,
but suits the producers to stir it up a little bit, doesn't it, with some of the dodgy answers.
Don't be so silly, Kath.
You are so silly, Kath.
Because Jack and Danny at the moment,
sorry,
as well as being a hilarious Cockney
names.
Rhyming slang couple,
that's
but they're walking
names.
It at the moment because they seem to be this quite kind of sweet, and you know, I don't think they're going at it like rabbits like some of them are. They're quite sweet, aren't they? So they're walking it. And so what they do is they throw a couple of questions into the mix that make her feel insecure, and they have a big row. That's entertainment. I don't believe that he faltered on that.
No, it's just, it really is absolute...
Shaggy pony.
There's some of that going on. It is rubbish. Lie detectors. But I don't really understand what's... They've been on that island for about 6 years, it feels like. It's a long old...
That's why some
trek.
Of them are very much in love now. They were
They're
after
so
about
enough.
A couple of days.
But then then I haven't seen it for a while. And that fella, the very buff, I can think of no better way to the black gentleman.
Which one?
The big buff one. He was like in proper love with someone else. Mm. But then tonight he's with someone else.
Yeah, isn't love funny?
Love.
Yeah, quick.
If I were on there, right, the first girl that showed any interest in hooking up with me, I'd propose. Totally. Because what they do a lot is, and if you've seen it, you'll know this, there'll be like a group of people and one will walk over and go, Kath, sorry, can we go and have a word? They always do that. One of them will go over and go, Kath, can we go and have a quick word? Is that all right? And they walk off, right? And I would, not you, Catherine, but so Danny, right? So Danny showed an interest in me. I said, Danny, can we go and have a quick word? This is like day two, yeah?
Right, okay.
Day two.
Have you kissed her or anything?
No.
Have you spoken to her very much?
No. Right, so we go day two. It's like,
I'll be Danny.
All right.
Yeah, babe, what?
Well, listen, this is really hard for me to say, girl, but
go on then, you can be honest with me, it's fine.
All right, I think your ass is amazing.
Oh, thanks, babe.
And I want to eat it.
Whoa.
So, I was wondering.
Oh, what are you doing?
Would you do me the honour of being my wife and let me play with your arse any time I want?
My dad's going to kill you.
Is that a yes?
Yeah, all right then.
There we go, you see. Now, here's the thing. You're thinking, well, what if she says no? Simple. You move on to the next one. And you move on to the next one.
Same speech.
Exactly the same speech. You move on to the next. You move on. And if they say no, well, they're lost. They're not going to get a series on ITV2 over the winter.
So true.
They won't get a job hosting the BAFTAs or whatever it is that they do. 0344 499 1000. We can see Andre calling in. So if you want to get, you know, if you don't want him to come on the air, I suggest you pick up the phone. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
Oh, my word.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. No one else called in, so we have to, by law, go to Andre. Good evening, Andre.
Hello, who's that?
It's Ian Lee, Andre. You've been phoning me for about 10 years now, mate.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
That's okay,
Kate,
buddy.
Kath, all right?
Kath is fine, I think. I won't let her speak for herself. Why should we let her speak? She's only a woman, for God's sake.
Won't she even say hello?
No, not to you, you scumbag.
Not even being economical with the words?
Go on, then. Be economical with the words.
So,
all right, thank you.
What are you listening to?
You.
Well, turn it off, you muppet.
Yeah, there you go, it's off.
Good.
Right, listen, right,
yes, mate.
Funny thing happened to me today.
Did it involve lots of alcohol?
No, it didn't actually, it only involved one.
Okay.
It was quite warm, yeah, which it shouldn't have been, but it was.
It's summer.
It was really horrible, and it's given me heat stroke, believe it or not.
The sun has?
No, the beer has.
Oh, the beer has given you heat stroke?
Well, see, the thing is, it's going to be hotter than Jamaica this week, as you know, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
If you've seen the forecast, 102 or whatever. Listen.
He's right.
I know I'm right. Don't have to tell me I'm right.
Well.
Listen.
Yes.
Yeah, Ian, but this beer has been topping me right over the edge.
Okay.
I've been sitting in front of a fan all day.
Yeah.
And with a blooming eight strokes, this beer. I'm not having another one.
Have you been drinking this beer outside in the garden?
No, indoors, but as soon as I come out, the hot air hit me and I had a heat stroke.
Okay, I don't know if you know, I don't think you know what heat stroke is.
A beer stroke.
You had a beer stroke, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the proper terminology.
I think that makes more sense. Yeah. It was a beer stroke.
But what should I do about it?
Maybe go to bed and stop phoning me?
Yeah, don't be like that.
No, maybe. Right. Yes?
What's occurring?
I'm doing a radio show, mate.
All right, I don't know what to say to you.
You don't have to. I've got plenty to say. My job is to have stuff to say, and I've got loads to say. So you don't have to say anything. I'm going to do tongue twisters in a minute.
Could I have the airwaves? Scissors and rocks? Right, after three. One, two, three. What you got?
What you got? You go, you tell me, because I don't. You tell me.
Right, no.
Yeah, go tell me what you got.
Right, it's flat.
So is it paper?
I can't say.
Well, you have to.
Mine
is sharp.
Mine's a flat piece of slate with blunt scissors.
Oh, no, mine is sharp paper. You get a paper cut, so I wrap that round the slate, so I'm afraid you look. Oh, I'll tell you what we'll do.
What?
We'll do the 60-second game, yeah?
Go on, then.
So I'm going to say go, and you've got to tell me when you think 60 seconds is up.
Right, go ahead.
And the person closest to it wins £1 million.
Okay.
All right, ready, steady, go.
We are talking 60 seconds.
If you think it'll help you.
All right. One and two and three and four and five and six, seven, eight and nine and 10, 11 and 12, 13 and 14 and 15. That's 30 seconds. One and two and three, four and five. I've sussed this end. Seven and eight and nine, 10 and 11 and 12, 13 and 14 and 15. That's 45 seconds. One and two and three and four and five and six and seven, eight and nine and 10. They told me it's a score. And one and two and three and four and five, 60 seconds. There you go. 60 seconds. Hello?
That's 58.42. How the hell did...
Only started counting about 10 seconds after...
Because I'm clever. I work in advance.
Well, you're in second place.
So what do I win?
You win nothing. You're in second place. How the hell did they... How did you do that?
Because you go one and two. That's the second, yeah?
But you started...
But you were starting and stopping all over the shop.
I counted 15 seconds to myself, and then I spoke the other 45 to you, yeah?
Thanks for calling, Andre. I'm showing the YouTubers 58.42 seconds, second place. That's incredible. That's incredible.
So he sort of went, and then he gave up counting and went, yeah, it's about 30.
Is that what you would call an idiot savant?
Well.
A drunk savant.
You're half right.
What does savant mean? Savant is like...
Knowledgeable, savant.
Right, so the savant.
Wise.
All right, so savant, yeah? So, idiot savant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stupid. So, fair play. All right, okay. Well, he's done it. I'm speechless after that. Absolutely. Look, Joe is digging that. Matthew is digging that. Julie, Ollie, Jamie, John.
He's a hero for our times.
He really is.
As long as it's within a minute.
Oh, you can't see my watch. All right. So... there's a thing about tongue twisters.
Oh.
Can you do tongue twisters?
Not
do you know
really.
Any? 1-1 was what? A racehorse, 1-2 was 1-2, 1-1-1 race and 2-1-1-2.
No, I didn't know that.
That's
one.
A good one.
I know the she sells seashells on the seashore.
Do you?
Well, that's it. I can't go much faster than that.
But what's the rest? Because there's more to it than that. She sells seashells
on the seashore.
By the seashore. If she sells, then it's like another, otherwise it's just saying the sentence. Which
yeah. Another one is, how much oil could a gumball boil if a gumball could boil?
Gumball could boil?
Boil oil.
Here it is. She sells seashells on the seashore. The shell... I can't even read it.
She sells
seashells on the seashore. The shells she sells are seashells, I'm sure. For if she sells seashells on the seashore, then I'm sure she sells seashore shells.
Oh. It's a limp end, isn't it?
We're not doing the woodchuck.
Nope.
No, woodchuck you can do. It's pheasant plucker you can't do. We're not doing pheasant plucker.
Pheasant plucker's son.
Don't even do that. Woodchuck you can do. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? A woodchuck would chuck as much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Here we go. There's one for you. Frivolously fanciful Fanny fried... Frivolously fanciful Fanny fried fresh, furiously. This is made up. She saw Sharif's shoes on the sofa, but was she so sure those were Sharif's shoes she saw? Sharif, Omar Sharif wouldn't leave his shoes on the sofa. He's a gentleman.
No.
I bet if he came into your house, he would either have his own slippers or he put those little blue plastic things over the shoes. If he had a foot infection or something.
Omar Sharif.
This isn't a tongue twister. This was a comedy act. Ken Dodd's dad's dog's dead. Oh, that you got in trouble with that. That was the joke in your house and you ruined it when he actually died.
Well, I thought it was my chance to finally just ruin the joke.
So what happened?
I texted my dad.
Yeah.
Said, Ken Dodd's dead. And he wrote back, did he? And I said, yes. But, no! You're supposed to say no, Doddy!
Oh, your dad's very
And then I did it to my auntie, and she had his sister, and she had a similar furious response. And they're both still cross about it now.
Okay, it says here now, warning, don't try these ones around the
Ken
kids.
Ken Dodd's died. Actually, not Ken Dodd's dead.
Okay, this warning, don't try these ones around the kids. It's got pheasant plucker. I am not the pheasant plucker. I'm the pheasant plucker's mate. I'm only plucking pheasants because the pheasant plucker's late.
Oh.
But there's one. I don't know how this would be rude, so I'm going to hover over the dump button and I'm going to go for it. Because I can't...
Hang on, I'm going to sneeze.
Jesus, exciting radio, huh? That'll get us to Sony again. I can't see how this one is rude. So this is it. I'll do it slowly, then I'll try and do it fast. A smart fella, a fella smart.
Oh, you know why.
It takes a smart fella to say a fella smart. All right, it's a fart. A smart fella, a fella smart. It takes a smart fella to say a fella smart. Okay. I slit a sheet I slit. Upon this slitted sheet I sit.
Well done.
Someone who's probably had a shit on a sheet is Gatford. Good evening, Gatford.
Hi there. My favourite is Round the Ragged Rock, the Ragged Rascal Ran.
Go on then, let's hear it, buddy.
You have to roll those R's.
Yeah. Round the Ragged Rock, the Ragged Rascal Ran. Round the Ragged Rock, the Ragged Rascal Ran. Round the Ragged Rock, the Ragged Rascal Ran. Round the Ragged Rock, the Ragged Rascal Ran.
Well done.
Well done, Gatford. You can say words.
Well, and yeah. Well, that's fairly good, isn't it? Something.
And also leave long, awkward silences between those words.
Both skills.
I'm just building up that tape for you where you're going to have lots of gat.
No, we don't need it built up. Come on, get to the point. Come on, chop chop, because I want to go to Ogre next.
Okay, well, that was the point, so go to that.
Okay, thanks very much. What a dull call.
Thank you, Gatford.
Thank you, Gatford. Your time is appreciated. One of my favourite, one of my top 10 moderators on my YouTube channel. Ogre!
Hi, Ian.
Hey, man, how you doing, Ogre?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, actually. It looks like I'm going to get the keys to the farm, hopefully, next Tuesday.
Whoop.
I've booked the removal man for next Wednesday. I could be living on a farm, working my arm up a cow's bum.
Why, they're beefers.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
You've got no business up there.
You get a hand up a cow's bum every now and then.
What for?
A dare. To impress the boys? I don't know. I'm not a vet. I just know I gotta do it. Work it out. There's someone stuck up the cow's ass. Get your hand up there and work it out. Yeah, pull it out.
Anyway, Ogre,
what have you got for us tonight? Hey, by the way, did you see that the technical boffins at Talk Radio, despite the fact it split our viewing figures and meant we didn't go viral, they re-uploaded your sexual deviancy video and they spelt your name correctly?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Okay. It split our viewing figures just as you would have split a cat, but...
Oh, stop it!
He's the one.
The other day, man, because when I tuned in, there was your colleague and an American female.
American female, want to make love. I wasn't feeling very well. So I had a night off sick, and Catherine is, until further notice, is my official deputy stand-in. So she moves round one seat, and then Katie Puckrick very kindly came in at short notice and filled the other seat. And the hour I heard was barnstorming, breathtaking radio.
It was.
It's good, wasn't it? They're good.
Yeah.
If you missed it, guys, you can watch it again on the YouTube channel. You can listen again on the Talk Radio website or download the podcast.
So.
Yes.
Did you manage to watch the film then?
What film was I supposed
to? Coffee and Cigarettes, the one we spoke about. And then I said the particular scene with Iggy Pop and Tom Waits. And,
Yes.
And then you promised me you was going to watch it.
I promise you. And I am a man of my word, Ogre. And yes, I did watch it.
Okay.
And before I tell you what my favourite bit was.
Go on.
Why don't you tell me your favourite bit and your least favourite bit?
My favourite bit from the film?
Yeah. Keen to hear that and compare it with my favourite bit and least favourite bit.
Okay, favourite bit is do you remember the two gangsters that were sitting in like a cafe, sort of like a diner? And one of them was going, oh, Lenny, are you drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes?
Yes.
That's not healthy. Yeah. And then, you know,
great.
During the conversation, it was like, did I ever tell you you're like your wife?
You're a wise ass. You call him a wise ass in the movie. Yeah, I tell you, you're a wise ass. You're a wise ass. He said that, didn't he?
I'm a wise cracker, not a wise ass.
Yeah, I'm a wise cracker, not a wise ass. He says that back. He says, I'm not a wise ass. I'm a wise cracker. And then he smokes it. And it was great because it reminded me of the days when you could smoke inside coffee houses, which you can't do anymore. So I found that scene very, very powerful and very reminiscent of the 90s. It's a 90s movie, isn't it?
I think it was.
Yeah. I think you'll find I'm right. And I thought that scene was great. I thought it was explosive. I thought they really underplayed it very, very nicely. And I thought the music, you probably didn't notice it, but the music in the background of that scene in particular was absolutely spot on, wasn't it?
You're on point tonight. I'll give you that.
Thank you, man. It's a great film, and I appreciate the recommendation. And I recommend all of my fans watch that movie, listen to Ogre's Rare. Have you got anything else that I should watch for the next time you call him?
What sort of films do you like?
Oh, I like films like Coffee and Cigarettes.
Okay.
The kind of 90s movies with kind of low-key, understated performances.
How about Junebug? Have you seen Junebug?
Drumbug?
Junebug.
Junebug. Now, who's in that? That sounds like a great movie.
I'm not very good with the name of the actresses because, like, most of the films I see by
porn.
I'm an expert at that, but you know, we're not talking about that right now.
Okay.
So basically, most of the films I watch are by people that you don't really know, and like, you know, you wouldn't really care too much to know about them because it's just about the film and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
but
I don't
know. Junebug, it's a really, really good one.
All right, when do you want me to watch it, Brian? I'll watch it.
Whenever you want, I'll call you on my next day off, probably.
All right.
Or whenever.
All right, nice one. Hey, by the way, Brexit's going well, isn't it? Theresa May has given that new bloke the sack.
Well, that means it's not going too well.
Yeah, we're screwed, man. The whole country is being driven into the sea.
Yeah. It's good for some people, though.
Yeah, it's good for Jacob Rees-Mogg and Nigel Farage. Hey, what's your... I'm getting a kind of slight accent, but what's your family heritage, Ogre?
I'm West African.
Do you think... I want to leave this country. It sucks. If I went to West Africa, do you think I could make it there?
They love white people out there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could I get a job as a well-paid radio host just talking rubbish there?
Just as a radio host, you could have a job as the director of the radio station.
Whoa! West Africa, I'm coming home. I'm coming to see my people in West Africa.
Okay, man. Have a nice rest of the show.
Thank you, Olga. Take care. You have a rest. Yes.
Do you remember the girl I said I was in the process with?
Yes.
Yeah, she's holding on.
She's holding on for sex after marriage?
No, for me to get back to her because she's on the other line.
Oh,
hey! You must really love her to take our call first.
Yeah, man, have a nice day.
You're going to be about to have a nice 5 minutes. Good lads.
Well, Ogre.
Hey, listen, guys, the news is coming up with some adverts. Ogre's got a perfect way of filling that time. He'll be back by about the time we finish the news. Why don't you go off as well? I'm very happy for you. 03444991000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Thank you.
making in your cornbread. The eagle flies, take a hint, and advise you go.
Keep
a sit back in Big Bob.
Keep
a was on a heavy job.
Keep
he heard another say, come on, both go.
Keep
a horse was in a race.
Keep
he could win, show our place. Exactly wanna stop. It's a motion, lotion that makes you home.
That's a better recording of that. Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks, man alive. It's just so good. He wrote, he wrote three quarters of an autobiography and then he died. And it's some book. It really is. I think I might have lent it to my sister. Joe, did I lend it to you when I came to New Zealand? Some book, you know, a troubled soul who never really got famous and spent, you know, decades boozing it up. But you know, he'd made these incredible albums that just no one bought. And then he kind of had a resurgence towards the end of his life, which is great. I like Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. I don't like Hermes.
Oh, why?
Parcel firm Hermes. There are some really lousy parcel delivery. Because now anyone, when it was like the post office and Royal Mail, right, and Parcel Force, which is Royal Mail, isn't it? It was like you knew what you're getting. You knew you were going to get your parcel. It was going to come. And if you weren't there, you'd get a red card through your door and you'd have to go and collect it. You knew it. And that was it. And everyone was happy with that. And you were cool. And now there's Hermes and there's Yodel. And there's at Christmas, there's just like blokes and kids in vans. Like blokes, mums and kids in vans delivering my Amazon stuff.
Sometimes just in cars.
Yeah, exactly. Cars. Mum and a kid delivering my parcels at Christmas. You're joking, right? And a lot of the, I mean, Yodel famously, there was a run of stories about Yodel about 6 months ago. They just lobbed them over the fence. Didn't they push, wasn't there one? I'm pretty sure it was Yodel, but it could have been another one. Well, they pushed it through a window and it fell in a toilet and it was like a phone or a watch or something and it was ruined, man. And they're always, Yodel, they were the one that they were just chucking it over a fence.
It was a few years ago, wasn't it? And there was like a run of stories about them. I had, this shows how long ago it happened. Someone nicked a pushchair that was supposed to be delivered. Kicked off about it. I finally, and they said it's been delivered.
It's
We've got a signature.
It's been signed for.
I said, do you want to see my signature before you tell me it's my signature? Yeah. I can show you my passport. It took me ages to get the company to take it seriously. And then, guess what happened? Someone turned up with my pushchair.
Who had it then?
Delivery guy.
What, but then, and what, then, felt guilty, didn't have the baby?
Well, no, what had been happening, and we kind of deduced, and it had been in our area in particular, because, you know, I was working at three counties, and, you know, on the next desk was the consumer show.
Oh, yeah.
there'd been a run of people having things like pushchairs and things for babies go missing, obviously.
Are you saying it was baby thieves? Babies were stealing...
No, they were... These things were going missing, and someone...
Stolen by babies?
No.
I'm confused.
The delivery driver was keeping them back and flogging them cheap.
The delivery driver was a baby? How can they reach the pedals? What is going on, Catherine? If you're accusing babies of crimes, you better have some tough evidence. Explain what happened. So a baby,
Yeah, baby stole the pushchair.
Outrageous. We've got... Send them back. Send them back whence they came.
No, thanks.
Parcel firm Hermes. And just to clarify, we don't think... I've not read the story yet, but I don't think babies are involved in this. So it's not all babies are arseholes.
Well, we don't know that.
Parcel firm Hermes has apologised after videos showed its staff using parcels as punch bags. In the footage, depot workers kick and throw packages and even run them over with trolleys. Large items also lie on top of smaller ones. At the centre in Bridgewater, Somerset, Amazon, Next and QVC. Is QVC still going?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? That used to be the thing in the 90s when we got like On Digital. Remember On Digital, like free thing? You stay up late, you get stoned and you just watch QVC at like 3 in the morning.
A friend of mine did quite well. She moved from the radio to QVC. She ended up cleaning up a bit.
Oh, well, I think Paul Ross has done QVC. Listen, if they offered me a gig, I certainly wouldn't turn it down. I don't know if I could do it because it's a skill to be able to, A, talk about that stuff in detail for as long as you have to. And I could do that. I could do that. What I don't think I could turn off is the wink to camera. I couldn't do it. You know, when I go and... I'm doing some competitions tomorrow on Loose Women. They'll be 45 seconds each. My tongue will be firmly in my cheek and I'll be winking at the camera. If not literally, then metaphorically, right? Because I can't do a genuine... I can't do genuine... Even though when I'm being genuine, I can't do it. So that would be my problem on QVC or these other home shopping channels. I would just sound sarcastic.
I love watching them, though, because, like you say, it is a skill. And I particularly like it when they do the jewellery section.
Yeah.
And they always have a tiny measuring like ruler for the earrings, so you can just see.
The measuring ruler, measuring you say? Ruler, yeah. Wow. Do you remember when... I nearly said Huey Lewis. I meant Louis Theroux. Do you remember... Huey Lewis has gone deaf.
Oh, and yeah.
He's had to cancel all of his concerts. I mean, Huey Lewis, in the great scheme of things. But he's gone... I interviewed Huey once, the nicest guy.
He seemed very pleasant.
He was Huey
Is he
Lewis,
Canadian? He comes across as Canadian.
I got a feeling he might be American. I interviewed Huey Lewis, right? Such a nice guy. And I told my friend Simon, and he said, oh, God. Well, my mate, I can't remember their name, they're getting married, and their first dance is Huey Lewis. They love, without any irony, they love Huey Lewis. I said, all right, well, why don't you come down to the interview and let's see if, you know, if we can get him to sign a card. Let's just check out the vibe, right? And the vibe was awesome. It was a lovely interview, joking and laughing. And at the end, I said, Huey, look, this is my mate Simon, and his friends are getting married. And without any irony, their first dance is you. Would you mind just signing a wedding card for them? He went, oh, yeah, sure. He said, I tell you what, you've got the camera set up. Why don't I film a little something for them?
Oh, good man.
We're like, whoa. And he sat there. He went, hi, I'm Huey Lewis. I heard you just got married. I want to say thank you so much for choosing my... In fact, here it is. Here's your song, whatever song it was. And
I bet he was happy to be stuck with you.
I can't remember. But he introduced their wedding song and filmed it. What a nice guy. And that's why I've always got time for Huey Lewis. I was saddened to read that. Anyway, so working back from Huey Lewis, Louis Theroux, he did Shopping Channel for one of his shows, and it's just him, you know, being an idiot.
Being awkward
and just pointing out all of the wrong things. What are you doing?
Nothing. I think my button's come undone.
Okay. That's the power of my mind. But now the power of my mind is doing it up again. So QVC are among well-known brands that use Hermes. One former employee who worked at the West Country branch for 15 months said, the same level of contempt is shown for parcels every day. The more we process, the more money Hermes get. Orders would come in from Hermes' main distribution centre in Rugby Walks, with 20 members of sorting staff expected to process 30,000 parcels every single day. Wow. In footage recorded earlier this year, workers can be seen punching parcels on a conveyor belt. A spokesperson for Hermes said those involved no longer work there, and the depot has undergone a number of changes. So I was chuckling because on the other page is it's the start. 0344 499 1000 is the text maniacs page, and they always text, can you put a picture of a fit bird because I want to see her and I can't use Google, basically. And here it just says, let's have a pic of Jesse Wallace. So there's a pic of Jesse Wallace. Let's read some of these tweets, shall we, to the star.
First of all, do you believe any of these are actually tweets?
Yeah, because Pub Lunch, who listens to this show, used to get in there. He was also turning up one of my shows drunk and rude, but
yeah,
we've sorted that out.
That story.
Here we go. This is from Jimmy in Wigan, or Jimmy Wigan, I don't know. Thank God the two IS terrorists, beheading in capital letters because he's shouting it, thugs, are being sent to US and not here, because they'd only be recruiting sat in a cosy cell, watered and fed. Pity the poor people they beheaded can't enjoy that luxury. Next one. This is from Moose Man. May says, let's get on with Brexit deal. Wow! We've been saying that for 2 years! If you Remainers, this is Alan in Teesdale, if you Remainers think we will believe all the doom and gloom fairy tales you are telling us, then that makes you as stupid as you obviously think we are. All right, Alan, how's it going so far, mate? You know that they're stockpiling food. Have you read this? The government is stockpiling food in case we crash out without a deal and food becomes really expensive. Your government is stockpiling food. How's Brexit going for you guys? It lets you know that Brexit is a disaster when ex-PM John Major is warning that it's a disaster waiting to happen. I don't understand that. Tony the window cleaner in Worksop. My mate once made love for 1 hour, 10 minutes, but it was the night we put the clocks forward 1 hour.
Gosh.
Tats says someone stole a pair of the missus' knickers off the washing line. Not bothered about the pants, but can we have the 36 pegs back, please? What's this? My boss says if I ever dare mention him in a text, I'm in bother big style. So best not mention Barry the Censored. What is this? Here we go. None of this makes any sense. Hey, let's try and get one in the star this week. Right, let's read this one. Then we're going to compose. This is what we'll do for the rest of the show. We're going to compose a text that's going to get us in the star.
But it's going to need to be someone else because they'll know it's us.
How?
Oh, texting.
What?
I thought you said tweeting.
Texting. Britain, this is from Grant Hatley. Britain used to be a country of free speech. Now, thanks to the loony lefties, you have to watch and carefully edit every single word you utter. No, you don't, Grant. You just got to face the consequences. Also, free speech is a myth. Right. So, what do we want? Do we want to see a picture of a fit girl in her pants?
Picture.
Okay, name a fit girl that we can get. Hey, let's get a picture of Katie Puckrick in there.
Yes.
Let's do it. Right. So, you've got a text D star.
Hang on.
Yeah, let's get Puckrick in there.
Right, what's the number?
85525. This is for the Star, Daily Star, guys. This isn't our number. It's 25 pence plus network charges, okay?
How much?
Right. So,
I've got to do D star at the beginning.
D star, one word.
All caps.
It doesn't really matter, mate.
Well, you say that.
It doesn't. I've started. Can I let you into confession? I've started texting phone-in radio shows. This is true.
I know, because Yasmin got one the other day and didn't believe it was you.
I texted Yasmin. I texted Howard Hughes. I texted, don't tell Paul this, because I was listening to him on the way home, but when I got home, I switched to another radio station. I texted Dotton Adebayo on BBC London last night. I've texted him quite a few times. I like Dotton. I texted him quite a lot. Last night, I texted him that I can't come. No, there's no... That's what I texted him about. He was talking about antidepressants. And so
did you read it?
I don't know. I fell asleep.
All right.
I feel like I've disappointed you by seeing other radio hosts.
No, it wasn't that. It was just that I was in the middle of typing a message about Katie Puckrick, and all of a sudden you're screaming, I can't come.
What have you texted? Because
how about a picture of 90s babe Katie Puckrick?
Now, I'm going to get... She always... so she was in The Word. When I see her, I always think of...
The Word is hot.
I always think The Word is hot. That doesn't make sense. Because you want The Word to be like the F word or a sex word, but you don't want to say that.
No.
So you want an innuendo.
I can't repeat The Word.
I think of when I see her. There we go. This is great, guys. This is great.
I would be an excellent lad.
Mainly because of your huge balls. Do we do the quarter past break? Let's do that, then we'll go to Ben. This is Talk Radio.
No rules, nocturnal nattering for nightbirds, nurses, and Nosferatu.
All right, cool.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Here Mondays and Fridays, you can listen to Talk Radio on DAB. Download the app or go to talkradio.co.uk. 1 o'clock is Paul Ross. Let's go to Ben. Good evening, Ben.
Hello, Ian. How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Ben, what you got for us?
Yeah, no, I've literally just discovered your podcast today.
Oh, nice one, man. How did you discover that? Was it like a recommended, or did you... What? How did you find it?
Well, I used to listen to you back in the Absolute Radio days.
Okay.
A few years back.
Yeah.
And then I lived in Soho for a couple of years. Naughty. When I was working at Kew Gardens.
Naughty boy, and yes, I like it.
I'm in my cab home at the moment, actually. I'm going through South London.
Hey, nice one, man.
And
I'm glad you found us. Yeah, it's the same old rubbish.
This sounds mad. Until I Googled your, podcast, your show.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know what you looked like.
Well, what was the image? Obviously, I'm a very attractive man.
Well, no. When I Googled it, there was a show of yours that from Absolute, but you have no beard.
Yeah.
And you look about 10 years younger than you do in your Talk Radio podcast.
Right, well, okay. Do you know what? I'm going to take that.
You win some, you lose some.
No, shut your face, Ian. It was about 7 years ago, so 10 years isn't so bad.
Yeah.
I do look... One of the tricks of having a beard is when you shave it off, you look younger, so I've got that trick up my sleeve when I do get old.
Yeah.
But this is the same old rubbish as Absolute. We just don't play Fleetwood Mac quite as much.
And also, because occasionally I've listened live, don't have as much Alex Lowe on from the old days.
He's busy off. We have him. I don't know who Alex Lowe is, but we have Barry from Rockford phoning in from time to time.
Oh, do you? Oh, sorry.
Andre's rediscovered us. Vinny calls in once every 3 or 4 months. But we've got a whole heap of new losers and junkies calling in. So I would say that this show is even better, Ben.
Hello. And also, I want to say your show is... It's not going to sound offensive, but it is the... Mm-hmm. The community pub of the radio.
There we go. No, I'll have that. Yeah, we call it a drop-in
centre. You know why?
Centre.
Because I actually have lived in Soho Pub for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But you've got your regulars that come in.
There we go.
And, you're the angry barman on occasion. Sorry. But you love them. They're still your locals.
I don't love
and
any
without,
of these.
Without them calling in, you wouldn't have what you've got.
We'd have a good show.
It is, yeah.
We'd have a good show without those losers calling in, Ben. We'd have a decent chance at making something.
It is a good show, you know. I don't tune in on occasion.
So, hang on, you're saying you lived in Soho?
Yeah, so funny story, right? So I worked at Kew Gardens. I did a degree course in botanical science.
Yeah.
I got to live there for my first year.
Wow! You lived in Kew Gardens?
Yeah, I got to live on site for my first year.
Mate, that's incredible.
And then a friend of mine who got to know over there, he had a pub called the Express Tavern next to Kew Garden, Kew Bridge Station. Kew Bridge Station?
No.
Do you know?
I know Kew Bridge Station.
Anyway,
yes. I don't know
what's that. He was an old Cockney gangster.
Uh oh.
Long story, I'm from South London. Got to know him, needed somewhere to stay. Let me live in his pub in Twickenham for 6 months.
I'm off to Twickenham straight after the show tonight.
And then And then when he sold the pub in Twickenham, he said, "Ben, I'm really sorry I'm selling it. Would you like to move up to the Lyric? Do you know the Lyric in Great Ormond Street?"
Yeah.
So he said, "Do you want to move up there?" So for my second 2 years at Kew, I lived up there.
Okay. Well, it's not quite as funny as you said it was going to be, but...
Well, no. But my bedroom overlooked the... Windmill Strip Club, so...
Wow, that's a very... That was the proper naughty part of town. That's a very, very naughty part of town. Hey, well, listen, Ben, I'm glad you found us. We're on Monday to Friday, 10 o'clock at night. Please spread the word. We need as many listeners as we can get, man.
No, we'll do it. No problem.
Thank you, Ben.
When I've had a few less drinks, I'll ring you again.
Nice one, man. Take care. Thanks a lot, Ben. There you go. Lovely. What a nice man. It's nice that I always find it amazing when people that haven't listened to me for ages, because I left Absolute, I kind of disappeared off the radar a bit, people rediscover me. It's nice. I wonder what they think when they haven't heard the act for, I mean, Absolute, six years ago, I suppose. I left there seven. When they haven't heard the act for that long, I wonder if they think it's different, if it's the same, if it's, I don't know what they think. 0344 499 1000. Let's go to George. Good evening, George.
Evening, Ian, Cass.
Hi, George.
George is sounding perky.
Am I?
You sound perky. What's going on, man?
I just sent you an email. Did you get it?
No, because if you've sent it to my Ian at Ian Lee, it takes about 25 minutes for those emails to come through. I don't know why. It's not my fault, but I'm not going to give everybody my private email address.
I think I might have sent it earlier as well.
It's not come through yet, George, I'm afraid.
Hasn't it?
No, I'm not lying. I'm actually telling you the truth.
Can I read it to you then?
Yeah, well, if you've got it, sure. Here we go.
I've been... made to suppose that here in London some young minds are to be inspired to create a philanthropic, loving God to run a peaceful, harmonious, leisure-oriented, country and poverty-free world of wonders via the marvellously programmed workings of a bank of a zillion wonders, Boaz W for short, will safeguard and use all of this world's money in the form of an electronic currency called the Wonder, to guarantee that nobody anywhere can be money poor and everybody everywhere can become money rich. Replacing all government, Boaz W will operate as a one world government to provide a universal wealth service for a truly brilliant world of wonders. I didn't read it very well.
I'm glad you accepted that. No, you didn't read it very well.
I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's right, it's 12:30 on a Tuesday night.
Sorry?
It's 12:30 on a Tuesday night.
Yes, it's what does late. That mean?
It means it's late.
Yeah, but I'm really happy with what I put into this email, and I just think it's a wonderful thing to imagine. Imagine creating a God to look after all of us. I think that has to be our future, Ian. I really do.
I don't know what my response to that is meant to be, that statement.
Well, just can you imagine creating an intelligence and give that intelligence all the money in the world and program that intelligence to look after everybody
computer.
In the world? Yes.
A computer? No, I don't want a computer to look after everybody in the world. That sounds horrendous.
Why is it horrendous?
Because a computer, a soulless machine, but what? And also, if a computer is intelligent enough to do that, it will eventually realise it doesn't need humans.
No, you create an incorruptible God, and
everybody's
God.
Corruptible.
No, it's programmed to be incorruptible.
Yeah, but it's programmed by humans.
Yeah, to be. be and operate as a loving God.
Yeah, but it's programmed by, it's got to be programmed by humans, and humans always put a little back door in there. If something is designed by humans, then it is instantly flawed.
I just can't agree with that. I just think.
Have you not seen the Terminator movies?
No, I haven't.
Well, then you should go and watch, before you start spouting about a computer that's going to govern us, go and watch Terminators 1 and 2. I wouldn't bother with 3.
It's not going to govern. It's going to love them. It's a love them.
Machines can't love. They can. Aren't you thinking about sex bots?
No, I'm just thinking that there is a loving God out there who wishes us to do this, and it's like the Christian prayer, the Lord's Prayer, give us each day our daily bread. Well, maybe this is the way that a loving God can give us all our daily bread and pay us the equivalent of £100 every day and make sure that nobody in this world...
Never going to happen. Because why would the billionaires and the multi-millionaires, why would they hand over any of the power that they've got? Why is Jacob Rees-Mogg and Donald Trump, why are they going to hand over any of their own power?
No, we will take their power away from them.
Violently?
Sorry?
With violence?
Not violence, no. We will create this loving God and give this loving God a zillion wonders.
You've just brushed past the point. How are you going to take the power away from Elon Musk?
Because their existing money will become worthless.
But no, because they're the ones with the power. So they would have to, veto money. And they're not going to do that. The people with money are the ones with power. You say, oh, we're going to take away the power of money, but that's meaningless.
No, we're not going to take away the power of money. We're going to use money to take over all existing money and introduce a one world electronic currency.
Okay.
Everyone will deal in that currency.
But you said we're going to use money to take over money. Well, that's a circular argument that's meaningless, because the people, you know, it's like 20 men have got, you know, 85% of the money in the world. How are you going to take it away from them?
Well, people ultimately have the power, and if
we haven't got power. We haven't got any power.
If we come together, we've got all the power.
No, we haven't. No, people haven't got power. And people don't care. People care about whether they can, when the new iPhone comes out, who's going to win Love Island? And, you know, some poor young girl has taken a heroin overdose. That's what people care about.
Ah, well, in the future, I imagine that there'll be a lottery every day, and people will win nice money every day, and money will cease to become an issue in the world.
Money
will cease to become a problem.
Then why would people want to win money?
Because to win money, to money is a means of exchange. So if you have more than the average amount, you can acquire more than the average can acquire. But
you're replacing money with money?
Electronic money.
I thought you were trying to get rid of greed and inequality.
No, there wouldn't be any greed or any...
Everyone's trying to win money on your lottery.
No, they're not. Everyone automatically would be given 10 tickets... every day they would have their
tickets.
They would have their numbers coming up every day, and every day everyone would have the possibility of becoming rich. But
But why would people care about being rich if money is unimportant?
It's not unimportant.
You just said it was unimportant.
No, I'm saying nobody can be poor, but everybody can be rich. You just guarantee that.
Some are richer than others.
Sorry?
But some are richer than others.
Yes, the people that
work. So some are rich and some are poor.
Yeah, but
it's all comparative.
The future is about leisure. We are going into a leisure future. I'm quite certain of that. Less and less people will need to work in the future.
No. Less and less people will be able to work because of these robots that you're designing. Because robots are replacing everything, man. Yeah, people still need to work. People still need to earn. But there won't be any jobs in 20 years because everything will be done by a robot.
Maybe. Almost everything, but we, as I say, I'm quite sure that we are going into a leisure age and a one world future, a future with no countries and no governments and a programmed one world government to look after
George,
all of us.
I think that your ideas are coming from the right place, but saying it over and over doesn't make it possible.
Imagining it makes it possible.
It's not so far, is it?
Well, everything has its time and place in my mind. As you know, everything is scripted. Everything is... We're all actors in this mystery play.
And you say that, and then you're always disappointed when things don't launch when they're supposed to launch in your mind.
I know, but things are launched now. Things are in motion, and I'm really... very happy with this email I put together this evening and have been sending it around, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Nice one, George. I always enjoy kicking ideas around with you. Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
Cheers, Mr. Tata. 03444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, then give us a call. It'd be really nice. It'd be really nice to talk to you.
Did you hear this story about John Major getting in a moody?
John Major. Well, I'm John Major. Oh. Yeah, go on.
Well, I mean, we found out about the Edwina Curry thing, and that was a surprise, wasn't it?
Well, she was a very sexy lady.
She was, but when he was in power, you remember, the big thing was he was boring. It turns out he was up to more than we knew.
Edwina, would you go down on me, please?
Oh, stop it! Right, well, it turns out he was also a menace with the soft furnishings.
Oh!
Sir John Major apparently hurled cushions at aides with whose opinions
what?
He disagreed.
People with AIDS? Babies with AIDS?
No. His principal private secretary even begged the PM not to bombard him with furnishings after critiquing his speaking style in an unusually frank memo. In the memo dated January 25th, 1991, Sir Andrew Turnbull told Sir John he had a tendency to add words and phrases which are redundant or worse, clichés during his speeches. But the note begins with a reference to Judith, possibly Sir John's aide, Judith Chaplin. May I, at the risk of having a cushion thrown at me, as was Judith's fate, offer some comments on your speaking style, Sir Andrew writes.
I mean,
if the worst thing you're worrying about is having a cushion lobbed at you. I, who work with someone who regularly uses the nearest thing to hand, often something quite hard and pointy, to luzz at me to make his point.
You have made it sound like I push an erection in your face.
Wow, no, I never said that.
My penis, as you know, my penis is very, very pointy. It's a birth defect. surgeons from around the world have looked at my penis.
You ever do that, I'll snap it off.
And
I'm talking about the pens.
They have
paper.
Said that you brought up an issue. You brought up a personal issue, and I'm going to address it. I have a pointy penis. And at some point, I'm hoping, it's partly why I did the jungle, was so I could get a deposit towards my penis reshaped into more of the kind of, the classic bell.
Oh, my God.
At the moment, it looks like a blooming Stanley knife. Very small Stanley knife. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, this is Talk Radio.
Closing time conversation for tax inspectors, taxi drivers and taxidermists. Great big talk for the wee small hours.
You've been trolling me big time, mate.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
No, Catherine, I'm saying your mum's a looker now, not in her days. You just said she was in her day.
She's a beautiful-looking
woman now. And does she...
No.
...have a phone number?
Yes.
A mobile?
She don't use it.
Okay.
And she only texts in capitals.
Oh, fine. She's an angry, passionate woman.
She can't find caps lock.
How are things between her and your dad?
Sticking any good.
Okay.
So, move on.
All right.
I don't want a new dad, and it's certainly not going to be you.
Try it.
No, thanks.
Ask me for some pocket money.
No.
Say, Dad, can I have some pocket money?
No,
please?
God, no.
Say it.
No.
Try it. Try it. Try it out for size.
No, this is all
just
wrong.
Just use these words. Walk around in these words. Stretch them. See how it feels.
I'm 40. I don't ask for pocket money anymore.
Okay. Just ask your dad. And it's great that you can call me that.
You're not my dad. You're not even my real dad.
Wow. That cuts. That cuts. But
that's the sort of stepkid I'm going to be.
I'm not.
You're not even my real dad.
I'm not. Well, there's being a dad because I impregnated your mum.
Oh, and there's God. Being a there's even being, saying it.
There's being a dad because I'm making love to your mum on a regular basis. Now in the bedroom next door, and that's what's going on, Catherine. And you just need
disgusting.
You just need to accept it.
Ugh.
I'm staying with your mum.
Oh, God.
Through thick and thin. She's a passionate woman with needs.
Oh, God.
And I'm happy to fulfil those
Stop
needs.
Stop it. Because this is...
Working for me. Yesterday marked the 7th anniversary of the death of Amy Winehouse. The singer joined the fabled group of celebrities who died at age 27. So this is the 27 Club, right? And it's famous rock stars that died. But I wonder if there are as many famous rock stars that died at 29 or 33.
Mm.
27 seems a bit too easy. So we got one of the lousiest, overrated guitar player. I'm going to describe someone and you've got to guess who they are from my description. The lousiest, overrated guitar player of all time.
Hendrix?
There we go, 27.
I don't agree with that, by the way, but I know that's how you feel.
He found fame in London when he moved to London from America. He died in London. Okay. One of the crappiest, most pretentious...
Jim Morrison.
There we go!
I know you too well.
Jim Morrison was the lead singer of The Doors, who shot to fame in 1967 with Light My Fire. With fame came pressure, and with pressure came alcoholism. In 1971, he was found dead in Paris.
In a bath.
Although mystery still surrounds the exact... No, it wasn't. He died of a heroin overdose in a bath. Next. Here's another one. Tiny little weasel of a man. Ratty. Very ratty little man.
James Dean.
No. Pop singer. Murdered? Don't know. Hit. Tiny little ratty man. Overrated. Shouts. Lousy. Wore cardigans. Awful, crappy little band that have spawned... The drummer from that crappy little band is now the singer in one of the crappiest bands in the world.
You're Kurt Cobain.
There we go. Exactly.
I think that's quite a cruel description of someone who's obviously complicated.
Murdered by...
Possibly.
Mm-mm-mm.
Murdered by his lifestyle.
Murdered by Bill Cosby. Okay. Terrible musician, overrated, was the founding member of one of the crappiest, lousiest, most overrated, bloated
rock
bands.
Where were you on the day these people died? Because you seem to have a grudge against all of them.
Really,
the music stopped, have you noticed?
The founding member...
there we go.
The founding member of one of the most rubbish bands of all time. Their lead singer
In excess.
Their lead singer...
Michael Hutchins.
...is a sexual deviant.
Oh.
The lead singer is still alive, and he's a sexual deviant. And he has got kids scattered all over the world. The singer puts his seed, waters his seed with the love moisture of women of much, much younger ages than he.
Oh. So is it an ex Rolling Stone?
Yeah. He's certainly an ex as he's dead. Right. Died in a swimming pool. Was he murdered?
Thingy. Your fella.
Brian Jones.
Brian.
Okay, here's another one.
Big Brian.
Woman, drunk, sings like a man.
Oh, Janis Joplin. Oh, Lord! That one.
Yeah.
Won't you buy me?
And that's it. And then they list some people that I've never heard of. Who's Mia Zavatta?
Don't know.
0344. Phone calls have dried up. You scumbags.
You're terrifying them with your...
You goddamn scumbags. I ought to come down there and pick that phone up and shove it right up your ass.
There we go. That's why.
I'm going to get... If you don't phone me up now, I'm going to take calls straight to SN. Don't you touch that switchboard.
We should do ASMR on them.
I'm going to get the phone... I'm doing it. I'm going to get that phone and shove it down your throat.
No.
The phone's going to go down your throat, whether you like it or not. And I'm going to push it so far down, it's going to come out of your ass or your peepee hole.
He's doing the De Niro face.
Let's do some ASMR.
Okay.
I'm licking your ear.
No, it doesn't have to be sexy like that.
Licking ears isn't sexy.
Well.
Not with the crap that comes out of mine at the moment.
Could you not be a pervert just for 5 minutes?
Okay.
Because we've already spoken about your penis and you've threatened people with shoving things up their jacksies.
Well, what else is ASMR if it's not sexually based?
Well... Oh, that's horrible. Please stop doing that, because it makes me, stop it.
I'm just making, these aren't even sexy. I'm gonna play with my beard. scratched my genitals. I don't think you're taking this seriously.
Stop! Don't break the mood.
You're not taking it seriously.
I'm gonna slap my cheeks.
I'm gonna play my teeth. Suddenly I feel a bit stupid.
Let's get him to come in and do one.
This is the... Oh, Paul, this is...
This is the future.
This is the thing. You've heard these ASMR...
Shh, whisper.
Best 5 minutes of radio ever had. Have you heard these ASMR
videos? No, I have not, and I don't hear any more about you, dirty pair.
This is what... This is... Honestly, they get millions of hits. And it's just people... It's just people talking. You honestly, YouTube tomorrow.
No!
ASMR, it's not sexual.
I put all that behind me.
They just talk like this.
No more of that old nonsense.
Mind you, there'll be people listening who the next time you're on holiday would like Kath and Katie to go for a bit of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
3 hours.
Honestly, we looked
What does it stand for? What was it?
That's a good question. Sensory, but it's huge. Honestly, there are people that make a fortune out of it, and it's not supposed to be sexual. But I think a lot of it's for perverts, and they'll do
autonomous.
Okay, what non-perverts would be interested in that rubbish?
It's autonomous sensory meridian response.
So bullshine.
The thing that makes you that thing between a tingle and a cringe.
And it makes you tingle down the back of your neck. Not everyone, some people, and they'll do like bubble wrap and whisper stuff, and they'll clean out with a stereo microphone. They'll clean out ears. So if you've got your headphones on, you feel like someone is, you know, it's nuts, man. Seriously, this
some
is
people
the future.
Love it.
Radio is dead. Right? Radio is dead. Radio is dead. ASMR is
syringing the future. For fun and profit. Blimey. The things you two reveal to the world.
The things we do when we've got no content. But you've got content, Paul, because that's what you do. What the hell is on your show tonight?
I don't know, Tosh, but I've got one big anniversary today. Maybe inappropriate. 175 years ago today, Charles McIntosh died. Fell off the perch. So we're celebrating...
Who's Charles McIntosh?
The man who gave us the proper raincoat. 200 years ago this year... A brilliant inventor, Scottish inventor, John Syme, discovered a process by which you could combine rubber with coal tar. That was the rubberized Macintosh.
Yes.
There are people who enjoy that. So we're talking raincoats on the show today, and that's about it for 4 hours.
Do you want us to teach you how to do some ASMR? Because you might...
Just do that, but really quietly.
Well, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have the dirty... Remember the Dirty Mac Brigade?
Oh, that great audio tape of Letters to Page Three Girls. That one.
Oh,
you
no, mean. I don't know that.
Have you ever heard that?
Oh, no.
What's it called? I've got the CD somewhere.
Of course you have.
and it's really funny because it's basically proper actors reading with inappropriately eerie music on it. Things like, I liked you on Thursday. And they just read the letters all these girls got. And they're all the ones from the kind of mid to late 90s who often had different names. There's one called Donna Ewan, who when she did something more explicit porn was Nina Down. But on Page Three, she was Donna Ewan. So they say, I was surprised to see you in Mayfair.
Wow.
I thought better of you, but I quite enjoyed it. It's all, and they just read them. I know.
I thought better of you.
What's it called? Dirty. I think it's just called Dirty Fan Mail.
Oh,
I think.
There used to be a guy. I don't know if you ever heard the tape. He used to phone up LBC when I was there, and he'd been phoning up for a long time. But he would phone up like the news office, and the tapes would get passed around. I wish I had them. They used to call him Mr. Shouty. I would like to complain about the weather report today. You said it was going to be sunny, and it was cloudy. This is this! And he, but he, there were so many of these. And my soon-to-be ex-wife was a reporter then. She'd invite me down and we'd just play these tapes. And they'd, oh, it's the funniest.
So maybe you could do the
Mr. Angry,
the higher decibel version of that thing you've just told me about.
Yeah.
With people. Because I loved your knight's voice last night. I think you should do a Liege Lord phoning or something. Wouldn't that? Varlets. Phone us now, ye varlets.
Yeah. Well, this is because I am getting very, very excited about the thought of going to medieval times with my. With my kids.
Oh, you've relented, because last night you said you might leave them in the hotel room and go on your own for a good time.
It's the kind of place you'd want to go to. What do you
think, totes.
Rebecca? Yeah? Would you dig it?
Yeah, of course
Don't
I would.
Don't be so silly, cow.
There we go, you see. You can't mess around with this stuff. Paul Ross will be on at 1 o'clock.
Raincoats.
Guys. Raincoats aplenty. We will be back tonight at 10. Don't forget podcasts. Best of podcast this, if you miss Catherine and Katie Puckrick on Friday, you can get that podcast on iTunes or Acast. We will be back tonight at 10. Manchester, there are 4 tickets left for I'd like to say it's a 15,000 seater arena. It's not, I want 65, so come on guys, help us sell out. We'll be back tonight at 10. Until then, from us, ta-ta!